Blog Talk Radio.
Yes, yes, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Here, here, here. First day. This is the day. This is the day. According to I-9 calculations and according to the calendar, season, reason for season, counting seven Shabbats complete. And here, here, here. You know, coming to tomorrow, right? Here in the early hours right here. Give thanks to those who can tune in. Can check it out now or check it out in the fall. It's a good harvest, you know, reaping and sowing. May we reap good, but first of all, may we sow good. Here, 2 sevens, the fullness. It's interesting that Acts of the Apostles says when Pentecost, the 50th day, or the Shavuot, the feast, the festival of weeks, counting that growth, was fully come. Here, 2 sevens. Culture. Here, 2 sevens, counting seven Shabbats complete, and tomorrow after, 7 times 7, you know, 49, and the 50th, Pentecost Day, and the New Covenant sense, right there. We have a little bit more right here, you know, a little overflow here for this day right here, the schedule, the calendar, Gregorian, May 28th, the 28th is Sunday, first day, according to True Church and the Professing Church, the Ba'al Menfes Kedus, the Feast of the Holy Spirit, as we have in Acts of the Apostles, especially chapter 1 and chapter 2. But here, a little more of a Midrash overflow right here, although for this day, the psalm is 51 here in the season, but we're still in the 50s, still in Psalm 58. So just a little bit more of the Midrash unpack right here and to write up more for this first day and this Shavuot, Pentecost day, yes, I and Jah true way. So hear this.
Psalm 58. Do ye indeed speak righteousness, O congregation? Do ye judge uprightly, O ye sons of men? Yea, in heart ye work wickedness. Ye weigh the violence of your hands in the earth. The wicked are estranged from the womb. They go astray as soon as they be born, speaking lies. Their poison is like the poison of a serpent. They are like the deaf adder that stoppeth her ear, which will not hearken to the voice of charmers, charming never so wisely. Break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be as cut in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. Like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the wicked, so that a man shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Verily, he is a God that judgeth the earth.
מזמור נ"ח, למנצח אל תשחט לדוד מכתם. האומנם אלם צדק תדברו, משרים תשפטו בני אדם. אף בלב עולות תפעלון, בארץ חמס ידיכם תפלסו. זורו רשעים מרחם, טעו מבטן דוברי חזב. חמת למו כדמות חמת נחש, כמו פתן חרש יאתם אוזנו. אשר לא ישמע לכל מלחשים, חובר חברים מחוקם. אלוהים הרש שינמו בפימו, מלטעות כפירים נטוץ אדוני. ימאסו כמו מים, יתהלכו למו, ידרוך חיציו כמו יתמוללו. כמו שבלול דמש יעלו, נפל אשת בלחז ושמש. וטרם יבינו סירותיכם עתד, כמו חי כמו חרון יסערנו. ישמח צדיק כי חזה נקם, בעמיו ירחץ בדם הרשע, ויאמר אדם אך פרי לצדיק, אך יש אלוהים שופטים בארץ.
Shavuot, Shavuot, first day right here. A good reading and a meditation from the Rabbi, Rabbi Yeshua HaMoshiach, is the sower sowing the seed as well as the wheat and the tears. Very interesting meditation concerning both, you know, the growth, right? The growth of the wheat and the growth of the tears. Also in the resurrection, when it speaks of the resurrection of the good and the not good. You know, so both of them rise to the occasion, but here in the reasonment here, we have Psalm 58, a little bit more on this. Today's daily psalm here coming forward for the fullness of the day. Here, Shavuot, harvest, Pentecost day, Pentecost, to the first day right here, we have Psalm 51, the Hebrew Psalm of Repentance. But a little bit more reasoning to unpack Psalm 58 right here and tunes the season, reason for the season. That was Psalm 58, the English KJV, as well as the Hebrew Abraham Shmuloff right there on the read. Here, double eyes, it was rise to the occasion. Here's the A side. This is Lanji Kumbawa.
Rise to the occasion, look at yourself and say you're strong. No one can stop you, oh yeah. Rise to the occasion, go ahead, you know you're strong. No one can stop you.
It's for you to make the best in the life. Now that you've got the chance, get a first step towards your goal, it's alright.
Fulfill your needs and the wants.
Some people read and meditate, others move scanty, yo. Some people are conscious about life, others are still panting, yo. Some people like strong drink, oh, like champagne and brandy, yo. Babies love ice cream, and cake and candy, yo. I love herbs and girls, words, roots, I'm a shanty, yo. Girls love clothes and shoes, girls to school, brand new and a mean spanking, yo. Yes, we all need education because that's the damn thing, yo. All things fade, leaving it standing.
It's for you to make the best in the life. Now that you've got the chance, get up and step towards your goal, it's alright.
Fulfill your needs and the wants.
You to make the best in the life. Now that you've got the time, get a first step towards your goal, it's alright.
Fulfill your needs and wants. You've got the clearance, that's the reference. Perseverance for the utmost, that should be your preference. Tears of dread and silence is your evidence. And those afar off, see those in your residence. Oh yeah, yeah, first getting sentiments. Look at it with a clear conscience.
It's for you to make the best in the life. Now that you've got the time, get a first step. You're going to fulfill your needs and wants. It's for you to make the best in the life. Now that you've got the time, get up and step towards. You're
going to
surrender.
People try so many things just to make a living. Thanks the praise of the king, ever living, thanksgiving, yo. Need no distraction, stay focused because it now begins. Got to achieve your goals, I'm the soul vivid. No pride, no killing, no confusion. Life is so real, no time for disillusion. Just like mom would say, love is that solution. Keep making music, I'm a musician.
It's for you to make the best in the life. Now that you've got the chance.
And want
you to make the best in the life.
Yes, yes, yes. How's it going? How's it growing here in this harvest time, this harvest season? Both the harvest for the land and the harvest for the man. And speaking of the harvest for the man, the new covenant sense, Matthew chapter 13, we have the parable of the sower, right? The first of the mysteries, the sower and the seed, the heretical seed, the spiritual seed, the fruits of the Holy Spirit pointing to that right there. Then the tears, second mystery, the tears are like the fake wheat among the wheat, the fake sheep among the sheep, the fake wheat among the wheat. Third mystery, the grain, the grain of mustard seed, all of these parables right here by the Messiah, Moshiach of the parables, the son of the woman, according to the Ethiopic, the ancient Hebrew book of Enoch. We have the first in the first advent, laying that groundation and foundation. So Matthew chapter 13, very, very important to unpack, especially here in light of harvest, right, according to the Brit Chadasha. A little bit more, as we said right here on the psalm that we just concluded the Shabbat, the sabbatical with. Here we move forward with the first day, but some overflow right here, some reasoning to unpack from Psalm 58. And how does it relate to the harvest season? It says both the good will resurrect and the bad, some to baraka, to blessedness, and some to condemnation and damnation, just as it does in the land with the wheat, right, and the tears. So here.
Mizmor nun het, lamnatzeyach al tashet le David michtam. Ha'umnam elem tzedek tedabberun, mesharim tishpetu bene adam. אף בלב עולות תפעלון בארץ, חמאס ידיכם תפלסון. זורו רשעים מרחם, טעו מבטן דוברי חזב. חמת למו כדמות חמת נחש, כמו פתן חרש יאתם אוזנו. אשר לא ישמע לכל מלחשים, חובר חברים מחוקם. אלוהים הרש שינמו בפימו, מלטעות כפירים נטוץ אדוני. ימאסו כמו מים, יתהלכו למו, ידרוך חיציו כמו יתמוללו, כמו שבלול תמש יהלוך. נפל אשת בל חזו שמש, בטרם יבינו סירותיכם עתד, כמו חי, כמו חרון, יסערנו. ישמח צדיק כי חזה נקם, פעמיו ירחץ בדם הרשע, ויאמר, אדם אך פרי לצדיק, אך יש אלוהים שופטים בארץ.
So how is Psalm 58, and even today, daily Psalm 51, how are they harvest, kind of harvest psalms?
Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to this people.
Yea, in heart ye your work wickedness. Ye weigh out in the earth the violence of your hands. The wicked are estranged from the womb. The speakers of lies go astray as soon as they are born. Hear. Today's psalm is more nun chet. Hear. Hebraically, the gimel and the dalet verses, the third and the fourth verses, right here, here, here. Yea, in heart ye, y'all walk ratchetness, work wickedness. Ye, y'all weigh out in the earth the violence of your hands. The wicked, the ratchet are estranged from the womb. The speakers of lies go astray as soon as they be born. Afa beleva olota tif aluna. בארץ החמאסה ידכם תפלסון, זורו הרשעי מרחם, פעוע מבטנה דוברי חזב. Here. David said to them, the heart of a man was created to speak truth, as it is said, and he speaketh truth in his heart. Even here. From Psalm 15, Hebraically, the second verse. And he speaketh truth in his heart. V'dover emeta b'levavo, and speaketh truth in his heart. V'dober emeta b'levavo. But ye, y'all, do not so. For even In heart ye y'all work wickedness. Ye y'all weigh out in the earth the violence of your hands. Afa belev olota tif alun. Ba'areta chamasa yidechem tifa tifa lesun. In heart y'all work wickedness. Af belev olota tifa alun. Ye y'all weigh out in the earth the violence of your hands. Ba'aretz chamas yidekem tefalesun. That is, the hands were created to work goodness and justice, but your hands, y'all hands, walk violence and robbery. The words, the wicked are estranged from the womb. The speakers of lies go astray as soon as they are born. Hear, hear, hear. Today's psalm, the Dalet verse. Zoru Rishaima Meya Rachem Taua Mi Beten Dovre Kazab. The wicked, the ratchet are estranged from the womb. Zoru Rishaim Meya Rachem. The wicked, the ratchet, the rishayim are estranged from the womb, from the matrix. Zoru rishayim meya rachem. The speakers of lies go astray as soon as they be born. Ta'ua mi beten dovrei kazab. This means that the righteous are sanctified, are set apart, are Isla, are holy, are sanctified even in the belly and the womb and the matrix. As is said even in Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. Bit arema etz oreka, bit arema etz arka, va bet ena yida etika, uvat arema teitz eya me rechem, hiek dashtika. And as Isaiah also said, even in Isaiah chapter 49, verses 1 to 3, the Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. And he said to me, thou art my servant. Yahuwah mi betena kerani, mi ma'imi, hi azkir shimi, vayomer li avdi ata. Jehovah hath called me, called I, from the womb. Yahuwah mi betena kerani, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. Mim aimi, he is the kir shmi. And he said to me, Wayomer li, thou art my servant. Abdi ata. Yahuwah mi betena kerani. But ha rishaim, the wicked, the ratchet, come estranged and wicked and ratchet from the wombs, the matrixes of their mothers, of their matriarchs. As is said even here in today's psalm, the wicked, the ratchet, are estranged from the womb. The speakers of lies go astray as soon as they be born. Zoru rishaim amei rachem, ta'ua mi betena dovrei kazab. That is, ha rishaim, the wicked, the ratchet, are known from the womb, the matrix, and from the belly as ratchet. Thus, like this, we, I and I, know of Harasha, Esau, of the wicked, the ratchet Esau, that even while He was in the belly of Imo, his mother. He strove with Achio, Yaakov, his brother Jacob. As it is said, even in Bereshit in Genesis, Genesis chapter 25, verse 22, the children struggled together within her. The children, the sons, habanim, struggled. Why yita rotzitzu habanim within her be kirbaha? Why yita rotzitzu habanim be kirbaha? That is to say, in the very belly of Imo, his mother, Esau struggled with Achio, his brother. Hence, David said, ye, y'all too, were estranged from the womb, from the matrix, and ye and y'all too went astray from the belly. Their venom is like the venom of a serpent. They are like the deaf ass that stoppeth her ear, which hearkeneth not to the voice of charmers, or of the most cunning binder of spells. Hear, today's psalm, Psalm 58, Hebraically the 5th and the 6th verses. Chemata lamo, kia demuta chemata nachasha, komo fetena chresha yaetem azno. Asher lo ishma'a l'kola melachishi choverach barima me'chukam. Their venom is like the venom of a serpent. Chemata lamo kia demuta chemata nachash. They are like the deaf ass that stoppeth her ear. Komo fetena chresha yaetem azno. Who hearkeneth not to the voice of charmers. Asher lo ishma'a l'kola melachshi, or of the most cunning binder of spells. Chobera chibarima mechukam. David said further to them, know you not, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, did to HaNachash, did to the serpent? He destroyed his feet and his teeth, so that HaNachash, the serpent, now eats dust. Even so will HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, the set-apart one, the sanctified one, the Isla One, Baruch Hu, blessed be He, deal with maligners. As the next verse says, even here in today's Psalm, Mizmor Non Chet, Nun Chet, Psalm 58, Hebraically the 7th verse that reads, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the cheek teeth of the young lions, O Lord. Elohim, herasa shinemo befimo, maliteota kefirim, netota Yahuwah. Break their teeth, O Elohim, in their mouth. Elohim, herasa shinemo befimo. Break out the cheek teeth of the young lions, O Jehovah. Maliteota kefirim, netota Yahuwah. They melt away as water that runneth apace. Hear the next verse. Today, Psalm Mizmor Non Chet, Nun Chet, Psalm 58, verse 8. They melt away as water that runneth apace. Yemaesua komoa mayim, yitahalku lamo. Make them melt away as water that runneth apace. Ye my soul, come on, my yitahalku lamo. David said, as water as mayim, when once it is poured out, may not be gathered together to gather again, but runs off apace. So it is with the maligner's slander. once they utter their words of slander, the words can never be confined to speaker and hearer. He aimeth his arrows. Yidroka chitzayo. When he aimeth his arrows. Yidroka chitzayo, said David, as the arrow, when shot from the bow, smites and kills, so does the evil tongue. For it is said, even in Yirmiyahu, in Ernest, in Jeremiah chapter 9, verse 7, their tongue is an arrow shot out. It speaketh deceit. Chaitza shachuta. Le shonam mirma diber. Their tongue is a sharpened arrow. Chait shachut. Their tongue is a sharpened arrow. Chait shachut. Le shonam mirma diber. It speaketh deceit. It speaketh deceit. Mirma diber. Arrows as they speak. Here, today, Psalm Hebraically, the eighth verse. Yidroka chitzayo. Arrows as they speak. That is, whenever they speak. Arrows as they speak. Yidroka chitzayo. And here, Midrash note, the JV, the Yehudi version, arrows, reads, arrows, let them, make them be as though they were cut off. Arrows, make them be as though they were cut off. Yidroka chitzayo kamoa yita molalu. He aimeth his arrows, make them be as though they were cut off. Yidroka chitzayo kamoa yita molal. They are as a snail which oozeth as it goes its way, and so shall fall into fire and never see the sun. Hear. The eighth verse, Hebraically, here, the ninth verse of today's psalm, Mizmor Non Chet, Nun Chet, hear. Kumo. Shablula temesa yahlok nefel esheta bala hazu shamesh. Or also translated as, let them, make them be as a snail which melteth and passeth away, like the untimely births of a woman that have not seen the sun. Kumo shablula temesa yahlok nefel esheta bala hazu shamesh. Like the snail, kumo shablul, like the shablul that oozes on its way so that its track is known. So the evil tongue oozing on its way makes itself known by its slime. What is the punishment for the evil tongue? It will fall into the fire of Gehenna and not see the sun of the Olam Haba, of the world to come, for the words, and never see the sun. For the words, hear, Bala Chazu Shamesh, and never see the sun, mean that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Holy One, blessed be He, said, because you speak slander, you will fall into Gehenna. Fire, Aish, will devour you. Aish will eat you up. And you will not see the sun of the Olam Haba, of the world to come. But it is said of the righteous, even in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, verse 20, it is said of the righteous, to you that fear, that reverence my name, shall the Sun of Righteousness arise with healing in its wings. Vizarcha lachem yireya shemiya shemesha tzedaka Ua marpe biachanafeha. But to you that fear, that reverence my name, we zarcha lakem yirei shemi, shall the Son of Righteousness, Shemesh Tzedaka, arise with healing in its wings, with healing in her wings. Umarpe biya kanafeha. Wizarcha lakem yireya shemi shemesha tzedaka. Umarpe ya biya kanafeha. Of the righteous, it is said, to you that fear, that reverence, that respect, shemi, my name, shall the Shemesh Tzedaka, the Son of Righteousness, arise with healing in her wings. Wizarcha lakem yirei shemi Shemesh Tzedaka u marpe biya kanafe ha 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 ha.
Sun is shining where the retreat is. Make you wanna move your dancing feet now to be rescued. Here I am, wanting to know y'all. Can't you understand? Yeah. When the morning gathers the rainbow, want you to know I'm a rainbow too. To be rescued, here I am. Want you to know y'all. Wanna move your dancing feet, yeah. But to the rescue, here I am. Want you to know that if you can, here I stand. Yeah, I do. Of course I do. Baby, I'm up to rescue. Baby, I'm totally at the rescue.
Elect of the light of this world. Remember now, lines of King David, Ark of the Covenant, Hebrew language, and you must, little children of the world, learn the Ashanti language, learn the ancient Hebrew language.
A different reading, like the untimely births, Nephel, of a woman that have not seen the sun. Hear today's psalm, Mizmor non chet nun chet, Psalm 58, here at the 8th, the 9th verse, hear, where it reads, Nefel eshet bal chazu shamesh. A different reading, like the untimely births, the Nefel, of a woman that have not seen the sun. Nefel eshet bal chazu shamesh, shamesh, shamesh. And here, midrash note, like the untimely births, the nefel, the falling, abortion, the miscarriage, the implication, like the untimely births, the nefel. Here the Midrash note says, read the above in the sense of falling into fire, falling, nefel, falling into fire, like the untimely births, like the Nephel, Nephel, a shet of an eshet of a woman, Bal Chazu Shamesh, that have not seen the sun. Nephel, eshet, Bal Chazu Shamesh. Hine, behold, look, see, here it is. Behold, you will be regarded like the untimely births a woman lets fall that never see the sun. Nephel is here read in the sense of, quote, the falling of an untimely birth. Nephel is here read in the sense of the falling of an untimely birth. As in the verse, even the verse from Eob, from Job, Job chapter 3, verse 16, that reads, or as a hidden untimely birth, Nephel, I had not been, as infants that never saw light, or Knephela Amun, Lo Ehye, Ke Olalim, Lo Ra'u, or as an hidden untimely birth, or as an hidden untimely birth, I had not been, as infants never saw light, never seeing light, or ke nefela tamun lo ehye ke olalim lo ra'u or. And other reading, and so fall below like moles that have not seen the sun, or here, and so fall below like moles that have not seen the sun. Nephel eshet bal chazu shamesh. And here, midrash note. Here on another reading, and so fall below like moles. Here, the Midrash note, Eshet, read above as fire. Eshet, read above as fire, then as woman. Eshet, is now read as mole. Ashut. So, here in another reading, and so fall below like moles. Nephel, eshet, and so fall below like moles. Nephel, ashut. Nephel, ashut. Ashut, moles. Nephel, ashut, bal chazua shamesh. So eshet, above, read as fire. Eshet, esh. Eshet as fire, then as eshet as woman or wife, eshet. Now here in another reading as ashut, mole. And so fall below like moles that have not seen the sun. Nephel ashut bal chazu shamesh. David said, y'all will fall below like ashut, like moles that do not see the sun, but burrow into the earth and there squat. Three creatures, the mole, the snake, and the frog. They differ from all other creatures. Three creatures, the mole, the snake, and the frog. They differ from all other creatures. The mole, if it could see, no creature could stand against it. The snake, if it had feet, it could overtake a horse in full stride and kill him. The frog, if it had teeth, no creature would enter the water for fear of it. Before your briar shoots harden into brambles. Hear, today, Psalm Mizmor Nun Chet, Nun Chet, Psalm 58. Hear, at the 10th verse. Before your briar shoots harden into brambles. Before your briar shoots, Bitarema Yavinu, Siarotekem, at ad. Dit rema yabinu sirotekem at ad. Here, 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 a midrash note right here. The Yehudi version reads, before your pots can feel your thorns. Before your pots can feel the thorns. Dit rem yabinu sirotekem at ad. Before your pots can feel your thorns, or here in the midrash, before your briar shoots harden into brambles. Here, here, the midrash note, sira may be rendered either as pot or briar. Sira, here, bitarema yabinu, sirotekem from sira can be read as pot or briar. Bitarem yabinu, sirotekem, atad. As to bean, in bitarem yabinu, as to bean, usually translated as feel or instruct. Bean and yabinu, usually translated as feel or instruct. Bitarema yabinu, sirotekem atad. Before your briar shoots harden into brambles. David said, the court ought to learn from the workman. The court ought to learn from the workman when he finds a briar shoot in a vineyard. He destroys it with his matak before it grows up and becomes thorns and brambles. He cuts it down while it is unripe. He cuts it down while it is unripe. That is to say, while the briar is green, kumo chai, living, chai, green, kumo chai, while the briar is green, and while it is soft, charon, kumo chai, kumo charon, yisareinu, or also translated here, he will sweep it away with a whirlwind, the roar and the burning alike, kumo chai, kumo charon, yisareinu, as soft as fresh bread. He cuts it down while it is unripe, while the briar is green, and while it is soft, charon, as soft as fresh bread. Here, charon. Charon is read like chori, even in the phrase from Bereshith, from Genesis. Genesis chapter 40, verse 16, that reads, three baskets of fresh bread. And here, the fuller verse from Bereshith, Genesis chapter 40, here, verse 16. Vayar Sara Haofi Kito Patar Vayomer Illa Yosef Afani Bachelomi Vehinea Shilosha Salea Chori Al Roshi. Fuller verse. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also saw in my dream, and behold, three baskets of white bread were on my head. Wayar Sara Haofi Ki Toba Patar Wayomer Illa Yosef Afani Bachelomi Wehine Shilosha Saleh Chori Al Roshi. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. Here, today, Psalm Mizmor Nun Chet, Psalm 58, verse 11, Hebraically. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. Yismach Tzadik, Ki Chaza Nakam. The righteous shall rejoice. Yismach Tzadik, when he seeth, ki chaza, the vengeance, nakam. Yismach tzadik, ki yachazan nakam. Only if you are thought worthy by the master of the vineyard, the master of the vineyard, to destroy the briars in his vineyard, in his vineyard, may you, may y'all, the righteous, ha-tzadikim, the tzadikan, rejoice in their destruction, rejoice in them down destruction. Yismach tzadika ki achazan nakam, pe'amayo yirchatza bidam harasha. The righteous shall rejoice when he seeth the vengeance. He shall wash his feet in the blood of the ratchet. Yismach tzadika ki chazan nakam, pe'amayo yirchatza bidam harasha. Ve'yomar Adam. Aka priya la sadika, aka yesh Elohim shoftim ba'aretz. And men shall say, verily, there is a reward for the righteous. Ve'yomar Adam, and Adam shall say, ve'yomar Adam, ak pri la sadik, for show, ak pri, pri, fruit, frey, fruit, a reward, ak pri, la tzadik, for the tzadik, for the righteous, ak yesh Elohim shoftim ba'aretz, verily for show, ak yesh Elohim, Elohim exists, yesh Elohim shoftim, judges ba'aretz, in the earth, in the earthly plane. We yomar adam ak pri la tzadik ak yesh Elohim shoftim ba'aret fa'aret 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 fa'aret
fa'aret. Let the righteous be glad. Let them rejoice before God, before God, before God.
Jump! Rastafari. Jump! Rastafari. Jump! Rastafari.
Hail Elohim, Hail Elohim, Elohim, judges in the earth, earth's rightful ruler. Yes, sir.
Spirit of Hamla, Geramawi, Rastafari. Geramawi, Ayatollah Christos. Lift them up, my rock, God. Deny it.
Conceptions for migration. righteousness covers the earth as the waters cover the sea. The rain from that Iowa until this Iowa. He'll full eye, so high and so mighty.
Thank you. sos enya be lete hud yemibal. Said on Sundays, the first day. Sidkin yasara senvetina yakabram sohulu sadikno. Wada ekaziavi heram lukota yegeba. Kamitmanana yilayenya yohona fetsmoibel. Sidkin yasara senvetin yakabram so. Hulu sadikno. Blessed is he who does truth and honors the Sabbath. Let him not question whether he would be outcast from the multitudes if he was to enter into the worship of the sustainer, Ekaziaber Cha Astafari. Blessed is he who does truth, righteousness, and honors the Sabbath, the Senvet. Thank you.
was a great trembling, and the earth shook.
The mountain itself was moved by the presence of the Most High, who lived and reigned and ruled.
Blessed be the Lord my strength, which teacheth my hands to war and my fingers to fight. My goodness and my fortress, my high tower and my deliverer, my shield and he in whom I trust, who subdueth my people under me. Lord, what is man that thou takest knowledge of him, or the son of man that thou makest account of him? Man is like to vanity. His days are as a shadow that passeth away. Bow thy heavens, O Lord, and come down. Touch the mountains, and they shall smoke. Cast forth lightning and scatter them. Shoot out thine arrows and destroy them. Send thine hand from above. Rid me and deliver me out of great waters from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood. I will sing a new song unto thee, O God. Upon a psaltery and an instrument of 10 strings will I sing praises unto thee. It is he that giveth salvation unto kings, who delivereth David his servant from the hurtful sword. Rid me and deliver me from the hand of strange children, whose mouth speaketh vanity, and their right hand is a right hand of falsehood, that our sons may be as plants grown up in their youth, that our daughters may be as cornerstones, polished after the similitude of a palace, that our garners may be full, affording all manner of store, that our sheep may bring forth thousands and 10,000s in our streets, that our oxen may be strong to labor, that there be no breaking in nor going out, that there be no complaining in our streets. Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord. Thank you.
What's the offering for harvest? It's bread. So what about bread? Why is bread significant? So here, just a breakdown build here on the first day, Pentecost, the 50th day, fully come right here. Let's speak about bread.
Yeah!
Christ will be
the multitude that only one loaf of bread. Christ will be the multitude that only one loaf of bread. Christ will be the multitude that only one loaf of bread. Christ will be the multitude.
Hear, O Israel. Hear, O Israel.
Shema Yisrael, Adonai Eloheinu, Adonai Echad.
What we call the lesson of bread. Rabbi Daniel Lapin, this book here, Business Secrets from the Bible, Spiritual Success Strategies for Financial Abundance. So it was actually in I guess this will be chapter 6 or secret number 6. So part of the chapter we shared right here, some annotations, updates, application for I&I. So this chapter is called Everything Important and Joyful You Have Achieved Has Been in Partnership with at least one other person. Again, this chapter here from Rabbi Daniel Lapin's book, Business Secrets from the Bible. I guess we call it chapter 6. It says secret number 6, secret pound sign 6. And the title here is Everything Important and Joyful You Have Achieved Has Been in Partnership with at least one other person. One other person. So actually I scrolled through the first part of this chapter right here and yeah, it's some more interesting things in this particular chapter. But when I saw the lesson concerning, what was that right there? I don't know, I'm hearing some sound come through the phone. Yeah. Anyway, when I went through this particular chapter right here, okay, here's the part right here, where it's on page 40. Just to go over what we have picked up and who's reasoning on this and, you know, some things being reasoned on reminded me about this particular chapter here. Our true wealth is other people. That's, I think, where we began off. Our true wealth is other people. Now I want to bring out His Majesty some of the wise saying of Kedemari Hadassalassi, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, where he says, you know, the most valuable resource of any nation is its people. It's very interesting. The most valuable and vital resource, right? When we think about resources, we might think about things in the earth, in the ground, minerals, so forth and so on, water, trees, you know, those kind of resources on that level. But really, it's all about people. So it began off saying in this section here, our true wealth is other people, right? And just to go over this a little bit and highlight some of our highlights right here, because there's some things that we like to like kind of circle around on right here, here, here. For example, let's go through this again right here, brothers and sisters, because it was a very interesting lesson, especially considering that emphasis in the glory of His Majesty. For my part, I glory in the Bible. And so therefore, many of us may have a bad perspective because of the Gentiles and the way that the Bible and Christianity and all of that and this. But then with others who do not fall under, you could say, that curse or that consequence, we get to find a healthy perspective to the Scripture and to the Bible, right? And what other people may call religion truly is true spirituality. Recognize this fact here, that our true wealth, right, our true wealth outside of our health wealth, you know, with good health, right, you can achieve all else, you know. So outside of our personal wealth, which is good health, right, in spirit and soul and body, man being a trinity created in the image and after the likeness. So apart from that, starting out from the healthiness, the teina, we say teina yistelin. Even when we say shalom, shalom is not just peace, 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 as we say it in the West, but it refers to also our wealth as well as our health. So our true wealth is other people. Starting by loving other people and giving them the respect or the honor and or respect they deserve. They, in this realm of things, is I and I everything. In other words, you know, of course, a person is not a thing, but when we think about the things that we think are important, we often put people and human beings who were created in the image and after likeness often last, right? So recognize that people truly is our, quote, everything. Love them, honor them, respect them, value them, right? Instead of hating people and disrespecting and dishonoring people and divide, no, love them, honor, respect them, value them, every single one of them. See, when you do that, when you start out looking for the good, then the other becomes apparent. But that wasn't your intent. Your intent was still good, right? Every single one of them. No matter how irritating or inconsequential a person, keyword, may seem. Sometimes we see things and then we recognize, chan, I wasn't seeing that correctly. So no matter how other people, some people may seem irritating or inconsequential, right? When we ultimately recognize there is a need, and I need them. People collectively, the community, the common unity is the true wealth and is your and I and I's true wealth. As His Majesty says, the most vital resource of a nation is its people. This is why our ability, the ability individually in our indivisible dual capacity and collectively, our ability to make money, it depends on how well we, I and I, connect and how well we, I and I, communicate with others. Just thought of something right here, 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 from the glory of His Majesty, the B-I-B-L-E, overstand it and overstanding it truthfully, right, outside of the paradigm of so-called white supremacy. Here, let's go to Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, right? Deuteronomy chapter 8. We're talking about business secrets from the Bible here. We're in the season of counting the Omer and was counting the growth of the wheat and like to touch on more on the Omer count. But here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, the section is called Warning and Exhortations and Building Up to the Bnei Yisrael, to this people, to this covenant-keeping community. And here, is it chapter 8 right here, here, here? Let's see, chapter 8. Oh, yeah, here we go, chapter 8. Scrolling forward to verse 18. Well, actually, the whole chapter, but I don't want to go through the whole chapter, but just some highlights that connect with this reasoning here on the lesson. The lesson of bread. Verse 17, 8 and 17, Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 17, it says, And thou say in thine heart, right, when we enter into the land and we reap those rewards, you know, and reap those blessings of Jalan and the earth back to life, the reality, outside of the grid, the concrete jungle, back to creation, nature. And thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand have got to me this wealth. Verse 18. But thou shalt remember Exiavihar, the sustainer, Amlakir, Exiav, the sustainer, thy source, Yahweh Eloheka, he who be, we be thy power. For it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth. Now what's interesting in the Royal Amharic, this word power, this sense of power, comes out as the Amharic word chilota. And chilota means ability. So in reading this verse here from the Metzach Kedus, the wisdom of His Majesty's Bible, for it is he, the sustainer, our source, that giveth thee, the I and I, the ability to get wealth. Now, it doesn't say to get money. You know, we have to understand the difference between being wealthy and being rich, the difference between wealth and money.
right? The difference between an aspect and the essence. For it is he that giveth thee power, in the sense of what kind of power? The ability to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant. So here from the Hebraic, and according to the glory of his majesty, even wealth has a purpose, right? The ability to get wealth is given for a purpose. And what's the purpose here in HaTorah? Here in Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 18, a section that is subtitled Warnings and Exhortations, Warnings and Building Up, Building I and I Up, that the ability to get wealth is so that he may establish his covenant that he swear to thy fathers, I and I patriarchs, as it is this day. So the key of wealth, scripturally, according to the glory of his majesty, there's a purpose. And that purpose in the right way, in Yahweh, truth and life, is the further establishment of his covenant. See, this is a big difference in the way we hear about money and covenant and among, you know, the so-called Christians or amongst the Western Gentile Christians. You know, it's not anything about his covenant. And those people who see it in connection with his covenant, we can see how it's more holistic. Therefore, once again, let's just return to this right here. Daniel Lappin's book on business secrets from the Bible, spiritual. You know, because how we think in our heart and mind, how we feel, is all part of our spirit and our soul, our psyche. Spiritual success strategies for financial abundance. I would begin off with the verse in Deuteronomy 8 and 18 and the proper understanding of it, right? But here, later in this particular document, right, there's a section to help us learn to become more fluent, articulate, persuasive, in order to better connect and communicate, as well as collaborate, co-labor, and create. Remember what Garmawi Nugus Neges, the King Messiah, said? That well, he said, well, Africa, it said that he said, Africa waits are created, and create with other people. Have you ever wondered why bread, here we're counting the growth of the wheat, right, called the Omer count, right, and we're commanded basically not to, in covenant keeping, we don't eat any of that wheat until it's all grown, until first we offer that offering to Jehovah, to I and I landlord, for what he has given to I and I. Have you ever wondered why bread is sacramental? Even the word sacramental, as the Rastaman, the elders will say, pick sense of what seems to be nonsense. Sacra, like sacred, holy, set apart, mental, holy, set apart, mind state. Why is bread sacramental in all the faiths, right? The hymenote, the living faith, that are based on the glory of his majesty, i.e. that's based on the Bible, properly and truthfully understood, understood, overstood, of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. A sacred sacrament involving bread is common to the many churches, not just in Judaism among the Jews or Christians, even other cultures also have, we share this in common. As His Majesty said, even though, you know, certain history and historic forms may militate and bind us to certain groups, there's that mystic connection, right? Now, it went into the section about the Sabbath table, where the author here speaks about on the regular Sabbath Shabbat table, how his wife, his Isha, how she prepares, his Oset prepares two special Sabbath loaves. This is what we have, actually, when we go into what Leviticus right here. We just had Leviticus the previous Shavua, right? Leviticus chapter 23 with the feast, the appointments, and we also connected what the three times in the year with His Majesty's autobiography. In chapter 4, book 1, in the Awaj, in the proclamation, where he reminded them about the Sabbath and keeping the Shabbat, and said to them that if workers on the Shabbat, if one work on the Shabbat, they will be punished. And then at the end of that proclamation, he spoke about the three annual feasts, the three annual festivals. And when properly overstood, they match what we have here in Leviticus. Right? So here in Leviticus chapter 23, verse 17, it says, y'all shall bring out, this is after the two sevens clash, the seven Shabbats plus one, seven times seven, 49. It says, even to the morrow after the seventh Shabbat. So that means the seventh Shabbat, right? That will be the Saturday. So this here takes place, right, on the first day that the Gentiles call Sunday, but we know as the first day. It says, even to the morrow after the seventh Shabbat. So the day after the seventh Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye and y'all shall offer a new KJV, as we mentioned, calls it the meat offering, right? And so the elders said, pick sense out of nonsense. When we study this, we recognize, chan. This whole meat offering in the Amharic, reading His Majesty's Bible in the Amharic, it calls it the Ihil Meswa'it. Ihil. Ihil is basically grain. And Hebraically, it comes out the same, right? It's the grain offering. So when you see where it says a new meat offering, someone say, oh, that's dead. No, it's actually grain. Grain is very significant in the offering. We see, looking through the Torah, it's only a concession that Jehovah gave to his children and to humanity at that time because they still were growing. They still was spiritually, iritically evolving. right? There is truly evolution, but it's not so much the evolution that you've been told evolution, but we're talking about the psycho-spiritual evolution, that more inner evolution. And ye shall offer a new meal offering. That's a bloodless offering. That's a grain. Let me emphasize grain. That's a grain offering, right? As there are five main types of grain that are mentioned and referred to in Ha Torah, five primary types of grain. We can say almost like five grain species, and we can see that a lot of other grain is either a combination or come from these ancient species. Verse 17 says, y'all shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves, right? Loaves. So another key distinction, just to go over this so that one can see the pattern and the contrast, the similarity, but also the difference. Here, when we come to the fourth of the seven appointments, right, we are commanded to present loaves of bread. And these loaves of bread shall have leaven. However, when we begin off with Pesach, with Passover, and then for 7 days of unleavened bread, there has to be no leaven, no yeast, no leaven. So here where it says, y'all shall bring out of your habitations two wave loaves of two tenth deals. Another point here, brothers and sisters, we're going to get into the science, the measurements. But we go over these things and it's talk about heen. You know, it says a heen, like a drink offering, a heen. Now here saying two tenth deals. How much is that? What's the weight of that? Get into weights and measures. So stay tuned. Chabarim, weights and measures. It says, they shall be a fine flour. Another proof that the so-called meat offering was from the old King James way of saying meat was whatever was edible. Meat never meant flesh. Whenever they wanted an old-time flesh, they would basically say flesh when they wanted debtors. But meat basically meant something edible, which could be flesh, but didn't have to be. Here, the meat offering is a grain offering. That's why it says, they shall be of fine flour. They shall be bacon with leaven. They are the first fruits to char over. So right here, that part actually connects with what Rabbi Daniel Lapton says right here when he says, I have my regular Sabbath Shabbat table, the regular Shabbat Shulchan, the Sabbath table at which my wife prepares two special, notice that, two special Sabbath breads. Here's where it comes from right here in HaTorah, Leviticus 23 and 24. So even some things among the Yehudi, the Jews, right, black and white and otherwise, some things are actually scripture. Now, other things are not, but it's our duty to study to shoot our self-approved. So here we have the two special Sabbath breads. And he writes, nothing starts until we make a bracha, a blessing over the bread. It's almost like somebody gives their child something or gives a child something, right? And proper parents, sometimes when somebody like a family person gives their child something, your child takes it and about to run off with it, right? And you say, oh, what do you say? So the bracha, right? So the blessing. What do we say? Before we eat, we say the bracha. So what is so special about bread? This is here, we like to focus on this reasoning as we're still in the season right here. Here at the, 21st, 22nd, the 23rd, here we're at the 23rd day, right, of the Omer count. What is the Omer? The Omer is the wheat, that sheaf of wheat, right, that sheaf of wheat right here. So the answer can be found in Bereshit. The answer to the question, what is so special about bread? In Bereshit, or called Genesis, right? When Adam and Eve sinned, I'll put it like this. When Adam sinned and Eve was beguiled, or he caused Eve to be beguiled, because it's interesting because it says about Hawa that, you know, there was a transgression, but upon the man, there was the more responsibility. This is our view from studying the text. But this is read right here. Get through this. When Adam and Eve upped up by eating the fruit of the tree in the Gan Eden, right? They were upset. They prayed. They atoned for their uckery. How do we know this? Because we have the Ethiopic book of the Gedla Adam. Right, the Gedla Adam, the struggle of Adam, the contending of Adam. In a sense, the Gedla Adam from the Royal Amharic would be almost like the jihad, which means a struggle, the Gedla Adam. It's an ancient document that gives additional details. You also find in the lost books of the Bible, forgotten books of Eden, right, the book what they call the Book of Adam and Eve. It actually was preserved by the Israelites of Ethiopia. So here, the writer here says that they were upset. They prayed, they atoned for their uckery. We have that in the Ethiopic book of Adam and Eve, the Gedla Adam. The fuller name of the book is the contendings of Adam and Eve against Satan, against the adversary, Satan. That's the fuller name, but often referred to as simply as the book of Adam and Eve. But it's an Ethiopic document. We like to emphasize that. So people be talking and talking, but they never say, well, so the Israelites of Ethiopia that preserved this, and the Orthodox Church, you know, honor, value, you know, respect. Finally, Elohim said, right, we have in the narrative, by the sweat of your brow, you will eat bread. Now, how many of us have heard this before and we have erroneous believed or accepted it to be a part of their punishment? I must admit, this is how I was taught it, or at least told it, and when I read it based on that way of looking at it, well, it does seem like, yeah, I guess they have to sweat of the brow, right? But this is an error, right? This is often erroneous belief to be part of their punishment for eating the forbidden fruit. That is absolutely false. The punishment, actually, was the eviction. The punishment was the eviction. The saying, by the sweat of your brow, you'll eat your bread, because in the Gan Eden, everything was provided. Now you're going to have to go out there into the land and cause these things to come from the earth. So therefore, this is what you're going to have to do. Just was announcing the reality of the situation. The real punishment was eviction, right? Like for the Bnei Yisrael, right? What was the real punishment for the children of Israel? It was eviction, right, from the promised land. The punishment was eviction from the Gan Eden, the Garden of Delights, and as well as the ushering in of death, of mavet, of moot, right, into the world. Eating bread is no punishment. Just to point that out there, eating bread is no punishment. Just a little bit more here, because we know we shared the audio, but just to go through this a little bit more and give a little more emphasis, as well as connect the dots, especially here in the season of the counting of the Omer, of the counting of the wheat, of the counting of the growth from the land, and in the new covenant sense, the renewed way, the counting of that seed, the seed in our ground, the seed of Jah word in our consciousness. Here in the season, how is it growing? How much of the fruit of the seed of Jah word do we see within I and we here in this season, here in this time? It's a spiritual, there's a spirituality as well as addressing the agricultural, the seasonal significances. Because as Matthew speaks about the spiritual, as Gormawi Nugus Neges, the King Messiah, speaks about the spiritual and the material, that balancing of the spiritual and the material. Therefore, eating bread is no punishment. Bread is delicious. By the sweat of your brow, you shall eat bread. That was actually Hailahim, Elohim's mercy. Adam and Eve, according to the narrative, had messed up, had ucked up. And they are now being shown mercy. Elohim, Hailahim, the power, the Almighty, is telling them from now onward, they will eat that which they have worked for by the sweat of their own brow. You know, it kind of, I don't want to even go there with that just yet. I was going to go into like the social system we have of so-called, you know, they call welfare and social services. It's almost like in the same, kind of a same context on a level, right? In a sense, in the Gan Eden, they were receiving, you say, the welfare, the good, the welfare of Jehovah. They didn't have to do for themselves, as it were. They only had to avoid one particular area, which they didn't, and thus we see what happened. So Elohim was telling them from now on that they will eat bread that they have worked for by their own effort. In other words, you're not going to receive effortless without doing anything. You're not going to get like that. See, we live in a society that creates a kind of a Babylonian hanging gardens. We're in the Babylonian hanging gardens of Eden, you know, because it gives a pseudo of the truth, right? But why did John show that mercy, that chesed to them? He does this because he knows that they will find satisfaction. His Majesty, Gormawi Nugusnik, Gormawi Hadaslasi speaks on this too. You know, like, there's a satisfaction, right, from whatever we earn, whether much or little, from our own activity, from our own working, from our own doing. There's that satisfaction. So he's the same today, yesterday, forever, and thus it was, according to the glory of his Majesty, the B-I-B-L-E. Then he showed them that mercy and said by the sweat of their brow, because he'd know that they would find satisfaction in reaping what they have sown. You ever, that ever happened to you? Something that you have done, it reaps, it becomes rewarding, and you know that you had to sweat, you had to struggle, but yet it provided not just for yourself, but for others. Is there ever any satisfaction, happiness? Were you joyful or were you sad? Because you reaped good things that you had sown. They will better savor that bread and the flavor of that bread which they have earned. Hailahim, Elohim, he invents a food that only human beings are going to eat, bread. Now, we're going to put a little footnote here. I know some of the Chabarim, some of y'all have studied, you know, we study other things as well as the Master of the Scripture, you know, to have that scripture knowledge as well as secular knowledge or also other things. And some of the Gnostic. Some of the Gnostics. Let's bring this up right here, because we couldn't do it before, but we're going to do it right now, right here. Let's look at this, or let's listen to this, really, right here. If you have the Gnostic Gospel, I think it's of Thomas. Let's just do this right here, brothers and sisters. Give me one moment just to bring this up on the board right here. Okay, we call this right here some Gnostic quotables. And this right here, I think it's from the Gospel of Philip. It's from the Gospel according to Philip. Remember Philip, the Ethiopian eunuch? It was Philippos, right? Lover of horses, Philippos. Right, who had baptized the Ethiopian official. Remember the word sound of the King of Kings, Haile Selassie, concerning the Ethiopian official? Well, here we have the Gospel of Philip, and this connects with this point in Daniel Lapton's Business Secrets from the Bible, where he says that Elohim invents a food that only human beings are going to eat. What is that food? that Elohim is said to have invented. That's bread. Here we have Gospel of Philip. This is called Christ, or we could say in the Hebraic sense, Mashiach, the anointed, Messiah. Messiah, the bringer of bread. Hear this. Chaverim, chaverim.
Christos, HaMashiach, the anointed, the bringer of bread. Christ, the bringer of bread, according to the Gospel of Philip. Before the anointed, Christos, HaMashiach, came, there was no bread in the world. Just as the Gan Eden, as paradise, where Adam was, had many trees for the food of the animals, but did not have wheat for the food of human beings. And human beings were nourished like the animals. But when the anointed, Christos, HaMashiach, the perfect human being came, he brought bread from heaven, from Shemayim, so that human beings might be fed with the food of the human being. Christ, the bringer of bread.
Yes, 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 yes. Yes, yes, yes. Give thanks to the Afro Moshiach. Yes, I give thanks to the Negro Christus. So right there, that was in the Gospel of Philip. I think that was the 11th. It's like broken down like into like the 11th, like saying, like a little paragraphical right there. I think that's the 11th one right there. We thought that was interesting right here, what Daniel Lapton, from a Judaic perspective, is bringing out from the study of the scripts here and business secrets from the Bible, where he says that Elohim, the true good, the true God, invented a food that only human beings are going to eat, bread. Then we recall, we said, chant. That sounded like one of the Gnostic quotables. He shall know the truth. Gnostic, the gnosis, to know, the da'at, that the Messiah was the bringer of bread. And just even that whole context there, as we shared from the word sound there concerning the Gan Eden, the Garden of Eden. Now, therefore, just moving forward on bread. Right? Over here, we're counting the substance of the bread. We're counting the wheat. Right? So actually, it begins from the first fruits. The first fruits. And the first fruit is the third of the seven appointments, appointed times, the feasts, the festivals of Jehovah. And that third one there, it corresponds in the New Covenant sense, right, according to the King of Kings Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christos, with that resurrection day that was, and that resurrection, which was on the morrow, which is the next day, right, the next day after the Shabbat. Remember, 3 days, three nights, the resurrection, early Sunday, yes. So bread, once again, the bread, right, I am the bread of life, right, the I am phrases with bread, the connection of bread. Now, bread is something incredible. I don't use that term like other people do, because credible basically means faithful or believable or admitting as truthable. Incredible means it has no credit to it. So I would say that bread is a very credible food. Why? Because it takes cooperation between people. That is a highlighted theme right there. Take note. Bread. Why is the study of bread, the lesson of bread as bread is used? What is bread? Even from the beginning of the narrative, HaTorah, right, even to the fulfillment of Brit Hadasha, we see this recurring theme of bread. Right, so bread, a very credible food, it takes cooperation between people. See, we don't see it like that today because, you know, we can just, you can just go to the store. You know, if you got some money, you can go to the store and you can just buy some bread. You know, it's easy peasy like that, right? But not so, right, in real life, like in the real world, right? You know, we're on the grid. You know, we're in this times of the Gentiles. Or actually, we're in the end times of the nation. We talk about the end of the system of things. That means we're going to have to return to life, return to the nature, return to nature, and the reality of cooperation between people. Nowadays, if somebody got a bag full of money, you know, they could probably buy most things, right? But in the real world, it's not about the so-called money or the gold or silver on the real level. It's about people. For the basics of life and liberty, such as bread. Even in the Our Father prayer, which is the ancient Hebraic Judaic prayer, Abinu Sheba Shemayim, our Father who art in heaven, right? He says, give us this day what? Our daily bread. But it's kind of interesting because we say, give us this day our daily bread, right? But yet we go forward to do what? We have to work the bread. We have to work the land. We have to grow the wheat, so forth and so on. Then we have to process the wheat, right? We have to process the wheat from the raw level, right, to the more refined level, to even that point that a cook or a baker can really begin to bake it. Right? Like right now, if you want to bake your own bread, you can go to the store and the flour is already there on the shelf. You know, you got the money, you can buy, you know, the flour and just put, you know, mix it up, you know, do your thing. Right? But that cuts off the ground of the reality, right? The ground, the earth. And heal up to all the Rastafari farmers out there, Ayakongo, yes I, you know, Dawid, Oregani, yes I, and all the other brothers and sisters, right, who are laboring the land and learning the wisdom and the nature of God's creation. So bread is a credible food. It takes cooperation between people. For example, someone must farm the wheat. Someone must grind the wheat into flour. Someone must bake the flour into bread. Someone must do that. Now, a lot of us would say, you know, because how we live nowadays, and sometimes, you know, you always can't just wait around for somebody else. You know, I learned to farm the wheat, right? I learned to grind the wheat into flour, right? I learned to bake the flour into bread. Okay, but in a community, remember the orientation is the covenant. Right? The orientation is the glory of His Majesty. So looking at the B-I-B-L-E properly, someone must farm the wheat, like one man or one of mine or ones and ones, a farmer, right? And then after it is farmed and it grows, and this season we count the growth when we're in the land, right? Someone must grind the wheat into flour, but someone also must harvest the wheat from the field. See, sometimes it's easier for you to just sow a whole field, right? To sow a whole field with the seeds. Right, and even water the whole field. But when it comes time to harvest, there's a window. You got to get that window of opportunity. You can't leave what you have grown just there. It will mess up, you know, that process in the future. Right, so someone must farm the wheat. He said someone must grind the wheat into flour. He didn't even mention that someone must harvest it. And what's interesting is that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, the King of Kings Christ, Jesus Christos, in the New Covenant, when he's speaking the parables, the allegories, the proverbs, he speaks more about themes that link with what we can call money than anything else, right? And he uses these agricultural terminologies. But then many of us, you know, are maybe city folks or city babes. We're born in the cities, you know, concrete jungle. We may have a few trees, you know, around, but none of the trees got any fruit on it. Now we read in books and we hear about, oh, fruit grows off of trees, but we don't really get to see this. We don't have this intimacy with this as those before and previous generations, like Ainai people, you know, the Geechee Gullah people from the south, or even Ainai people further south, Louisiana, New Orleans, or Ainai people's peoples from the Caribbean and other places. You know what I'm saying? They're close to the ground, close to the reality. So when they are reading the scripture and properly understanding it, they can really get the essence of the wisdom. The thing I noticed is I was reading about things in the scripts in the Bible, living in the city. I'm saying, a sheep. I don't know about no sheep. You know, I see sheep in the cartoon and stuff like that. And see, that's what we're thrown off. I'm pointing that out so we can reorientate I and I self. So someone must farm the wheat. Someone must harvest it. Someone must then grind up what is harvested into flour. Someone must bake the flour into bread, right? And also someone must transport it from the field over here, over there. You know what I mean? Here in this process, we see cooperation. True. One person can do a lot by themselves. I'm not doubting that, because someone's the one said they can do a lot. Yes. You know, but it's not sustainable, right? It's not sustainable very long, because the flesh is, right, weak, but the spirit is willing. You know what I mean? It takes cooperation to do it properly, right? So here we see cooperation among at least, even what we said, farming, grinding, and baking. We see cooperation at least three separate disciplines. Oh, you didn't know it's a discipline to farm? It is. Right? It's a discipline to grind the wheat into flour properly. It is. It's a discipline also to bake the flour into bread. So these are three separate disciplines, and usually at least three separate people. Now, in modern times, right, in the times of the Gentiles, modern times, it also requires, right, agricultural workers and industry to build the farm equipment. There's equipment that one must use. Of course, you can use your hand and you can do some makeshifts. Of course, you can do that if you're farming for yourself and your family. We're talking about community here, right? Because a covenant is not just so much with one in the fuller sense. Even with one, it is for many. Out of many, right? We are one, but really here, out of one, we become many. So in modern times, it also requires agricultural workers and industry to build the farm equipment. We need trucks, transportation vehicle, maybe truckers to haul the bread, and vendors to market it. See, because somebody else has taken care of all of that, we can just get some money, you know, and go to the store and just buy the things. But the question is, how long? How long? And suppose the trucks don't come in to the cities. What happens then? Are we going to do break up the concrete now? We're going to go in our backyards now? Right? Of course, that's of substance for a time, but how long would that last? But all of these people cooperate. If there's no cooperation, there's no nothing. Your money, you could eat your money. Eat the coins, dollars and cents, right? Of course, if you do, well, All of these people must cooperate. And what is the result? The result is the delicious, crusty, warm loaf of bread or whatever. You know, there's many kinds of different bread you can make with that one kind of flour, right? So we get the variety even from the bakers. The bakers can take that one type of flour and make all different kind of warm, tasty, delicious things. But now think about it. It all began from where? It all began from the ground, the groundation. It all began from the earth. The earth is Jehovah's and all of her fullness, right? Now, prior to bread, right, prior to bread, based on the biblical, the scriptural narrative, no doubt, whenever Adam or Hawa, felt hungry, what they did? They went to the store. They had to say, how much money we got to buy? So, no, they just simply just reached up and there was, you know, whatever fruit it was, plum or apple, and they ate whatever was on hand or whatever was handy. But from here on out, after the eviction, coming down to our so-called reality, they would have to plan in advance in order to make bread. This is also another highlight key point here. Planning in advance. Planning in advance. Planning in advance. See, now we don't have to plan in advance, really. Because we already know if I go to the store, there's going to be some bread there. Or at least we think so, and it's been that way. But have you gone to the stores lately? Right? You have to plan in advance. When one is hungry for bread, right, in the real world, right, when one is hungry for bread, that's not the time to start planning to plant wheat for flour. See, the time to plant wheat for flour has to be planned before you feel a hunger for bread. That must be done in advance. And here's another key thing. Making bread requires faith. Now, I hear folks talk about religion and religious, and I'm really tired of that talk. I understand why, you know what I mean? Because ones are linguistically challenged. We're going from the language of the downpresser, right? So it's confusion. It's Babylon, right? But in the true sense of faith, in the true sense of admitting as true, the true sense of confidence, right, one must have faith in order to even make bread. Something so simple. A farmer. I think farmers and people do agriculture, they really express a lot of faith. Right? One may say faith in nature, faith in their own ability, but it still requires faith. I'm not talking about a religious ceremony and doing this and that in a ceremonious way. No. If you put a seed in the ground today, you know you put it there. But then tomorrow, if you lack faith, you might start to doubt, did I really put a seed in the ground? Is that seed really still there? I don't see nothing right here. And then you might start to fiddle with the earth. Once you do that, you're stopping that germination process. So even making bread requires faith. Requires credo, credit. The word credit is actually faith. Take note, disciples. Take note, brothers and sisters. Faith equals credit. The word credit is actually faith. And I use this here instead of the be lie Eve, because when people see the lie in the middle of it, they get stuck on that and it gets kind of stupid in a sense, because they never get beyond that and never recognize, well, I'm sure they didn't have the word be lie Eve in the Hebrew or the Amharic. So what does that say and what does it mean? Making bread requires faith, admitting as true, admitting that what I'm doing here is going to reap a result. Because if you don't admit as true that what you're doing is going to have any purpose, you're not going to do it. Maybe that's why people are not doing a lot of things, because they don't really have faith that it's going to even work out. But making bread requires faith. When you put wheat seeds, you put the seeds of the wheat, for example, in the ground, you have to have faith. You have to admit as true that crops will grow. If you're doubting too much, they say that when you have plants or flowers, it's said, this is, I've seen it, at least some scientific kind of result of this, and it appears so, though I didn't really witness it firsthand, but I saw it on video where they talk about, well, if you have like flowers and you say positive, good things, loving things to the flowers, they grow better. If you say bad things, hurtful things, harmful, like talking bad things, then the crops are affected. That even shows how nature, right, responds, right, to the human being. And one brother, right, even, you know, reminded me, right, that man shares a lot of his DNA with the plants. How interesting. So making bread requires faith that when you put wheat seeds in the ground, that the crop will grow. Maybe this is why there's only a few ones, you know, who are really taking up farming seriously. Because they have a lot of faith. You know, the farmers, think about it, those who work the ground to produce the food, right? We just go to the market and buy it, or we just go to the store and get it, but somebody else has to go through that walk. Flour must be made into dough. Flour doesn't just make itself into dough. You put flour there and put some water there, it's not going to evolve into dough. Somebody has to work it into dough, and somebody has to understand the discipline necessary to make it into dough. I don't know if some of y'all have ever tried that. I actually learned how to do that, and it's very interesting, you know, to make gluten and, you know, like certain, you know, they call it like wheat meat, what they call it, wheat meat in that sense, right? It's the same process, actually, of making bread, of making wheat meat, in a sense, making, you know, the that kind of gluten-like substance. But anyway, flour, right, or they call it, some call it seitan, not seitan, but, you know, anyway. Flour must be made into dough. That must be then baked. Cooperation, here's the key, another key words here, cooperation and time are needed. So here in the season of counting seven Shabbats complete, right, that patience, that time, and we're reminded that in the first instance of the land, agriculturally, right, it is counting the crop as it has grown. So this is actually just counting and watching the growth till it's all fully harvested, right, in the Pentecost time or in the harvest of Feast of Weeks time. Cooperation and time are needed to create anything of true human value. And thus, brothers and sisters, that is the lesson. That's the lesson of bread, and it's an absolutely important lesson. Even if we still are in the cities and we haven't returned to the ground of reality, it will prepare our hearts and minds. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, brothers and sisters, going to ride up right here with more today's daily psalm as well. Just want to share that lesson of bread. And here, Damian Marley, one loaf, but on Shavuot, we present two loaves.
Something for you. Don't let the pressures of the system get upon your head. Poor people, there is something for you. Mankind care not for his sisters anymore. Still there is something for you. Written in the book of life, we shall live forevermore. There will be something for you. Rasta works a manifest and it a blossom and a bloom. Nature always run its course, the tide is rising with the moon. It only take a spark to put a fire to the fume. What is hidden in the dark shall be revealed so very soon. Tell Pharaoh free the prisoners from the dungeons and the tomb. Tell the youths to not sit dread and Babylon, put them in a platoon. The trials and the perils deeper down the blue lagoon. Them a want to know them history, you know, sister, them a moon. Christ fed the multitude with only one loaf of bread. Poor people, there is something for you. Don't let the pressures of the system get upon your head. Poor people, there is something for you. Mankind care not for his sisters anymore. Still there is something for you. Each and every time you see we forward up a door, there will be something for you. Jah gave Moses 10 commandments upon 2 tablets of stone. Led Israel out of Egypt and then promised them a home. Samson slew the Philistines with a donkey jawbone. And David slew Goliath with a goat to wear crown. Blessed be the man where walketh not in a the war zone. Blessed be the man where hear not in a peon ground. Blessed be the herbs that keep we eye on a peon stone. Fire for your man where sit down in a Babylon crown. Kill a human, go a dance and left them pick me them alone. Cannot take care of yourself, diggy diggy and ready in a room. Population under pressure, still them have more man a clown. And all the wasted love that has been lost has now been found. Christ fed the multitude with only one loaf of bread. Poor people, there is something for you. Don't let the pressures of the system get upon your head. Poor people, there is something for you. Mankind care not for his sisters anymore. Still there is something for you. Written in the book of life, we shall live forevermore. Still there is something.
They have some places to go, right? Acts chapter 7, verse 38, we went there. And then also Hebrews chapter 12, right? Verse 23, there's a note. So let's go to Hebrews, because right here, right? Royal Order of the Ethiopian Hebrews after the order of Melchizedek. I have to touch on some Hebrew here, right here, the Hebrews. Because Hebrew is now pointedly to the Yehudi, to the Jews, to the Israelites, to explain to them, according to the scripture, how Yeshua, right, a Yehudi, right, how this one is that prophesied Moshiach. So here, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 23, right, here, Is it chapter 12? Okay, my bad. There we go. Chapter 12. Here we go. Verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, the called out assembly of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to Elohim, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, of righteous men, of just men made perfect. In other words, of just men, righteous men becoming perfect. And to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, than of Abel. Or in ancient Egypt, you could put that in the Osirian connection, the Osirian. You know, there were ancient stories that many ones and ones kept going, but, you know, as time went on, sometimes people embellished it. From the Hebrew perspective, we are getting the true type of the principle right here, here, here. So there is the verse right there, and there's a footer right here, right? So it said church, the true church, the summary. The true church composed of the whole number of regenerate persons.
Regenerate persons.
Regenerate persons.
Regenerate persons.
Regenerate.
Regenerate.
Regenerate. We don't talk about that so often, right? Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yo, that's a good brother there. Yeah, he's a regenerate man. Yeah, that sister, and she a good sister. She regenerate. But often people would kind of easy point out people being degenerates, right? But the true church here is composed of the whole number of regenerated, that means born-again persons, from Pentecost, right? This is the footer, from Pentecoste. Here we're in the count of the harvest, you know, the count of the growth of the seed. Basically, this is a time in the season where we can check out our spiritual growth in season, right? In season, right? So here we have the true church composed of the whole number of the regenerate persons, the born-again persons from Pentecost, from the 50th day, from the harvest, even the feast of the Holy Spirit in the upper room of Zion, to the first resurrection, united together and to Christ, the Messiah, by the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Because there's a lot of ones that still are, water is good. Don't get me wrong, water is very good. But you hear them talk a lot about the water, but what about, because Christ gives them direct instruction at the beginning of the Acts of the Apostles. Remember, he's about to send out the disciples that have graduated from discipleship now to being worthy to being sent out. In other words, they have studied, they trained, they had objective like experience, you know, they had experiential knowledge, and now they're getting some of the final instructions before they are sent out. So we have to Christ, by the baptism with the Holy Spirit.
Spirit
is the body of Messiah. So we see what the body of Moshiach, speaking about the true church, the called out ones, I, all of us are members of the body, connected together, together. We are the body of Messiah. Of that, he is HaRosh. He is HaRosh. That's interesting because Sunday in Hebrew is called Yom HaRishon. Yom means day. Yom is also, interestingly enough, is a word used in the Ge'ez too. The word for day in Ge'ez. In Ethiopic also, one of the words used is Yom, right? Yom, right? The Yom, the day, Ha, the Rishon. Rishon means the head day, the Rosh, the Rishon, the Ras one day, right? So here, speaking of I and I as the body, the members together to gather in spirit and in truth, of that he is the head. He is the head, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 22 and verse 23. As such, it is the holy temple. Know ye not, right, that ye are the temple, that our bodies, we are called the temple collectively as the members, and our bodies are like the temple in the temple, right? So we have the body of all of us together, right, as a metaphysical body, but then we also have our body. Now, we start to look at these Torah readings and feedings concerning holiness. See, this is also the qualification, even according to the new, covenant. Remember, our mediator has already mediated this new covenant for I and I. As such, it is a holy temple for the habitation of Elohim, the true good, the true God, through the Spirit, through the Irid, is, quote, one flesh.
is what? One flesh with Moshiach, and also is espoused to him as a chaste virgin, as a chaste virgin to one husband. This means that we have to purge out of our hearts and minds and our deeds and doing, but beginning first of all with our hearts and minds. You see, if you overcome, say, a wrongdoing that you've been used to do and even liking to do, if you can first of all overcome it in the spirit of your mind, right, then it's easier to do. You know, you're persuaded now, right, and you feel it. See, persuaded in the logic, in the spirit, and feel it in the soul, in the psyche. Then it's only a matter of doing it and manifesting it, right? The spirit, the irid. Yes, I, Rastafari. So here, first day, right here, we have a psalm. We have Psalm 24. I was going to get into the 2-7 clash. I was thinking about something, just to share this quickly. They have this chorus line, what a leaf on Bombaye. What a leaf on Bombaye when the 2-7 clash. What a leaf on Bombaye when the 2-7 clash. So is that speaking in tongues right there? Could we like to share the tune from Queen Makeda, right? Clean hands and pure heart. She focuses on one of the verses in Psalm 24, the first day psalm, right? The first day psalm, here. And the verse is Niki Kapayim. Niki, clean kapayim, clean hands. Ubar lebab, bar lebab. Leib, when it says what a leave, right? In modern Hebrew, we might say levi. If I say levi, right? Or libi is to say my heart, right? So it just sounds like a little speaking in tongues right there, but still waiting for the full of full, right? As Pentecost, the Holy Spirit in the upper room, then we'll be able to truly maybe fully speak in that tongue and see whether we have in a 2-7 clash song by culture a little speaking in tongues, right? Because we hear in that, what a leave and bambaye, right? Niki kabayim ubar lebab, bar lebab, bambaye, leave and bambaye, purified heart. Right here.
Psalm 24.
First day.
The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof.
Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Indeed, so terrifying was the sight that Moses said, I tremble with fear. Behold, look in sight. You have come to Mount Zion, and to the city of the living King of Kings, the heavenly Jerusalem, and to innumerable angels, to festal gathering, and to the assembly of the firstborn.
Just
Bombay. What a leave on Bombay. What a leave on Bombay. Interesting right there. There's the two sevens, and we are linking that here with Leviticus. Leviticus chapter 23. Chapter 23, verse 15 and 16. Concerning the fourth of the seven, the fourth of the seven feasts of Jehovah, where it reads, "And ye and y'all shall count to you from the morrow after the Sabbath." I don't know about the eye, but the morrow after the Sabbath would be like what they call Sunday, but Hebraically is the first day, Ifud, right here in the beginning of the count of the third of the seventh. But the word says here, "And ye and y'all shall count to you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye all brought the sheaf of the wave offering, seven Shabbats shall be complete." Seven times seven. Verse 16 says, "Even to the morrow after the seventh Sabbath," the seventh Shabbat, so the count here to the morrow after the seventh Shabbat, shall y'all numbering 50 days. And now the 50 days in the Koine, in the Greek of the New Testament, at least the translation, it says Pentecoste. The Pentecost, the upper room, what occurred in that upper room of Zion on the 50 days, right? 50 days after the resurrection of HaMashiach. And the resurrection of HaMashiach corresponded with the Bikurim, and the Bikurim is the third of the seven feasts, just the feast prior to, which is known as first fruits, where it reads and says, "Speak to the children of Israel and say to them, when ye all be coming to the land that I give to you and shall reap the harvest thereof, then ye and y'all shall bring a sheaf of the first fruit." So this sheaf, even the sheaf of wheat, the counting of the omer is that sheaf of wheat corresponding with that first growth and the first one resurrected, the first one risen, Ha'adon Yeshua, Ha'adon Kam, is risen on that first day, on that morrow after, right, that morrow after the Shabbat. That morrow after the Shabbat, because it says right here, it says to bring a sheaf of the first fruits of your harvest to HaKohen, to the priest, verse 11, chapter 23, verse 11, and he shall wave the wave offering. Got a reason on the wave offering? Is there any connection to the wave and the wave offering and making the sign of the Meskel, the sign of the cross? That plus sign. "And he shall wave the sheaf," the omer, right, before Jehovah, speaking tabernacle in the courtyard, the sanctuary, before the door, the patah, right, "to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Shabbat, the priest shall wave it." So the first observation of the first day. Now, we specifically are saying the first day. Some are probably going to say, "Oh, Yadin, Iadonis, Rasa Iadonis is saying, those Rastafari Jews, Rastafari Israelites, they're talking about, oh, Hebrews have Sunday worship." No, we're not. Don't lie. Remember, holiness is don't lie, right? What we're saying is that on the day the Gentiles, the Goyim, have renamed and called Sunday, according to HaTorah, we have specific instructions, right, to have a first day. The first day, something occurs on the first day that we are to keep according to HaTorah. And here we're in Leviticus chapter 23, first reference, 23:11. "And he shall wave the sheaf, the omer, lifnei Yahuwah, before Jehovah, to be accepted for you on the morrow after the Shabbat." So just explain to I, if it's not the first day that the Gentiles call Sunday and we call the Yom HaRishon, the head day, right, Ethiopically the Ehud, and Ehud from Ahad, like Ahadu, Ehud, Ahad, meaning first day, right, this is what it's speaking about here, right, to be accepted, right, for you on the morrow after the Shabbat, the priest shall wave it. So now when we scroll forward from the third of the seven feasts, moving forward to the fourth of the seven feasts,
that is known as Pentecost in the New Testament. We say in the Christian sense, it's called Pentecosta. Pentecosta, which literally means 50th day, right? And how do we get this 50th day? And what is the significance of the 50th day after Bikurim? Bikurim first fruit. What significance of the Pentecost, the 50th day known as harvest, after the resurrection of HaMashiach, Yeshua? So here, verses 15 and 16 is the point of reference right here. There's a little more to also share on this, but since we still have, you know, how many to go right here? We have 5 Shavuos to go before we come to Shavuot, to the harvest or the weeks, the 7th of the 7th. Right, so here let's scroll now forward from this rightly divide the word, as it says right here, rightly explain the scripture. Yeshaya, Isaiah says, to the law and to the testimony. So we went to HaTorah, Leviticus, right? So let's go to the testimony. Here. We're going to go to the testimony in the Brit Chadasha, in the New Testament scripture. And we're going to go to Acts of the Apostles. And let's link this here with the Kedoshim, right? With this 30th sabbatical study, Kedoshim, Holy Ones. Asking the question, well, what is holy? What does it really mean, Haberim, holy? And also discuss how in the translation you might imagine confusion. In other words, in some places the same root word, right, Hebraic, that's used throughout, in some places is translated as sanctify or sacred or sanctify, or maybe as hallow, or maybe as holy, or maybe as dedicate, or maybe as consecrate, and always not consistently. So when you see those words, you might think, well, that's not holy, that's consecrate. But in the Hebrew, when we get to the source code, we find that, well, actually it is from the same root. And the root idea is set apart. Now, how do we come to this? What did Yeshua remind them of? Because there's some Christians, or those who call themselves Christians, you know, who would say, like, it's all about the new covenant, it's not about the old covenant, forget about the Israelites, it's all about the church, and it's the church of the Christians, it's not about the Israelites. You lie. Let me just say it like that. You lie, or you've been lied to, and therefore you don't lie willingly, but you lie by, you know, by like accomplice. Your accomplice is a lie. And we're going to prove the lie right here, right, with the truth of Acts of the Apostles. So, in Acts of the Apostles, what do we have right here? In Acts of the Apostles, we have after the Passover, we have after the crucifixion, after the death, after the burial, after the resurrection, but before the ascension. Some confuse resurrection with ascension. Some confuse resurrection with ascension. The resurrection is not the ascension. I just emphasize that there because when you start to see that nuance, you can see the fuller picture, the clarity, and those areas that people think contradict, they will actually make sense with the scripture. This is why it says, to the law, Torah, and to the testimony. So here, the testimony of the apostles and of HaAdon Yeshua, of Geta Yesus, right here. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1. And we're going to begin with verse 3 right here, just briefly here, right? That we are completed two Sabbaths, you know, like 7 Sabbaths complete. So we completed 2 Sabbaths since first fruit, since Resurrection Day. And we have like 5 more to go right here. So to know the reason for the season here, right? The counting, the growth, there's a twofold truth. In the Hebrew, the first truth is the natural, the 5 cycle. The second truth is the metaphysical. The first truth is when you enter into the land, right, and have acquired the land that John, the landlord, has given to I and I, and then when we reap the harvest, what we're supposed to do, you know, in the times and the seasons. The second of the two truths, being that land, scripturally, biblically, in its metaphysical, spiritual sense, the second of the two truths is used with consciousness. Right, entering into the promised land is also entering into the consciousness. In other words, you may enter into a good situation but have a bad consciousness in mind. The situation is good, but your mind was off. Your mind was not compatible with the situation. In other words, the cross did not align.
you know? Like on targeting equipment, you ever see targeting equipment, like through the sight, the sniper sight, like where the two crosses have to align? Carry your cross. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 3, the resurrection ministry of Messiah. Here we have the resurrection ministry of Moshiach. Verse 3, it says, to whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. Note the time, 40 days. So 7 times 7 is 49, plus 1 is 50. So here it says, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim. What is the gospel? Christian may ask you, what is the gospel? Right? They probably would say, well, Jesus saved me from my sins. Well, he does save Yisrael who believe in him from their sin. You know what the biggest sin of the Yehudi, the Jews, even we the black Jews from that time, that dispensation was? It was going along with our religious misleaders and crucifying and having him crucified by the Romans. That's the big sin right here. Alright? That's what it means for the Hebrew and the Israelite when it says that he died for our sin. He died on behalf of our sin, for our sin. The sin is trying to kill an innocent man. Isn't that a sin? According to Torah? To whom also he shewed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim. What is the gospel? The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom, is the good news of the kingdom. So here for 40 days, he speaks to them and teaches them pertaining the kingdom, the government, the kingdom of Elohim. You know, it's like the famous Yehudi, Jewish, Judahite, Hebrew, Israelite prayer, Abinu Sheba Shemayi, that most know as our Father who art in heaven. Right? Holy, set apart is thy name, thy right? Kingdom come, thy will be done. Where? On earth as it is in heaven. And therefore, when we say those things concerning HaKadosh, the Holy One, in being Kedoshim, we are seeking to fulfill his will. Right? Where? When we die, after we die, up in the pie in the sky in heaven? No, here on earth, to bring the kingdom, the heavenly kingdom, to the earthly plane. This is the thing that many Christians for centuries have been misled and running away from, pertaining to the kingdom of Elohim. It's interesting when we look at the Christians, right, from an objective, the good eye, and we also look at the Israelites, scripturally, biblically, and also, you know, psychologically, according to lost sheep, or the lost black sheep, we begin to see a lot of similarities between them, right? It's interesting. Many of the Christian church wanted to be so much replaced the Israelites. And in a sense, they've done the same thing, in essence. Not all, but many, like the Israelites. But going on. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 1, verse 4. And being assembled together with them. You know, in the Hebrew, the assembling and the coming together, the gathering together in Hebrew, is known as the kahal. Kahal. The kahal. There's a Torah portion known as wayag kahel. Right? Wayag kahel. Kahal. Kahal means to gather. In the Hebrew, right, the word for church comes from that kahal root. Some places it will be known as ha-kahal, in other places as the kahila. It's like sometimes a masculine and feminine sense of things Hebraically, you know? He created us in his image after his likeness, male and female, he created them. The root idea is that this idea that the church pertains to some new fangled thing. This is where many of those who call themselves Christians went off. Because even when they're in the New Testament, they forget what ones like the first saint. Who was the first saint according to the Christians? Who's the first saint? Right? Well, being of the true, quote, Christians, end quote, we know the first saint, right, is Estefano, Saint Stephen. And in Stephen's, what does Stephen say? Remember what Stephen said? Stephen spoke about the church. Didn't Stephen speak about the church in the wilderness? In Acts of the Apostles, we're still in Acts. Just scroll forward. Let's rightly divide the word, explain the word. Here a little, there a little. So we was in Acts chapter 1 just for a little. Let's just scroll forward a little to Acts chapter 7. Chapter 7, verse 38. It says, this is he that was in the church. Uh-oh. Right, he was in the church. Okay, yeah, the church. It's about the Christian church, right? The church in the wilderness. Wait, hold on. The church in the wilderness? Are they talking about the Old Testament? That was a church? Yes, that was the church. That was the church. Ha-ha. That is the church, right? And the true church must be in the pattern according to the church, right? So that means the true Christian church, and this is where we like to heal up Ephraim Isaacs, right? The elder, you know, Rava Ephraim's Isaacs, when he says that, you know, being a Jewish person, an Ethiopian Hebrew, a Jewish person having Yemenis, you know, an Ethiopian lineage, right, and being of the faith. He says when he's studying and in studying, you know, Christianity and the different churches, he finds, and others have found this to be so as well, but he said it very well, right, that the Ethiopian church is the most Jewish of the Christian churches. Therefore, it is most in that pattern of the church we have St. Stephen, the first martyr. He was killed for what he said. Alright, that means there must be some truth, if not enough truth in what he said. And this is one important truth in what he said. In Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verse 38, he discloses to us that what we have in the wilderness was the church. Now, for those who read and study Hebrew, right, and are Torah observant, they would know this to be true according to the true meaning of words. The aha, the gathering. The gathering, as His Majesty, the King of Kings, the Conquering Lion, the Tribe of Judah, says that the church is not merely the building, right? It's that faithful fulfillment of I and I, coming together to gather in spirit and in truth. So Acts 7:38, this is He that was in the church in the wilderness with the angel, HaMalaak, who spake to Him in the Mount Sinai. And with our fathers, our patriarchs, who received Kabbalah, the living oracles, the living words, the words of the true liberty, the lively oracles to give to us, to give to I and I. Now, there's a footnote that's found right here that's interesting in the Scofield Study Bible, what we utilize as a kind of a point of reference from low degrees to high degrees in our studies in discipleship, referring to the notes in the Scofield Study Bible here, connected with church, where it says in Acts 7:38, this is He that was in the church, that was in Ha-Ahal, Bamidbar, in the wilderness with HaMalaak, with the angel who spake to him in Har Sinai, in Mount Sinai. There's a footnote that says here, Israel in the land, right, in the land is never called a church. Israel in the land is never called a kahal. It's never called a kahal. In the wilderness, right, Yisrael was a true church. In the Midbar, the wilderness, the Midrebeda, in the wilderness, Yisrael was a true church. The Hebrew is aham, aham, which also means like he gathered, to gather, gathered together. Now, the word church is strictly a British English kind of invention of words, right? It's a latter-day terminology as they were translating the scriptures to bring home to the people they were translating to the sense and the idea that they understood, right? But when we look at the koine, the Greek, we have ecclesia, ecclesia. You've heard the term ecclesiastical. In fact, when we say that entering into Passover and the month of Abib, we begin off the holy year. We begin off the holy calendar, the holy year, or the Hebrew ecclesiastical year, the churchical year. What do we mean? We mean what the scripture means, that in the wilderness, as we're in the wilderness of North America and the West, Yisrael, Israel, was a true church, or the true ecclesia. And ecclesia means called out assembly. Called out assembly. Let me just give the eye just a brief example. Remember here, practicing the principle of precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Let's go back to Leviticus for a moment. Leviticus, right? Leviticus, just from the top of Leviticus.
And Yahweh spake to Moshe, saying, speak to the B'nai Yisrael and say to them concerning the feast of Mo'edei Yahweh that y'all shall proclaim to be holy convocations. That word convocations out called assemblies, that calling out sense, right? At those times in the year, we're called out, we assemble together, and our assembling together is the true kahal, the true kahila, the true church. Even these are my feasts, right? So even right there, and in verse 4, these are the feasts of Jehovah, even holy convocations. Go study the Hebrew of that translation right there, right? Set apart, right, out-called assemblies. Set apart assemblies where ones are called out to come together to gather, right? So here, once again, to Acts chapter 7, so the called out assembly is the ecclesia. It's interesting because the breakdown of the word ecclesia comes from two parts. Ex, you know, like somebody said, that's my ex or ex, which means out of, and kalio, kalio, which sounds a lot like the English call, callio, like kalio, kalio, out call, simply out call, right? Now, some say there's a striking contrast with what is known as the New Testament ecclesia, the New Testament called out assembly. And here, Scofield Study Bible has a note, MT, Matthew, XVI, Matthew 16, 18, and note, right? So let's take note, take note, take note. So let's go to chapter 16, verse 18, because we're speaking about church. What is the true church? People throw around this thing, the church. Some people think the church is a building, right? Some people think the church is the Vatican. I don't know. People have all kind of ideas of church, right? But this is why the word says, even in the New, especially in the New Testament, it says, study to show yourself approved. You know, it's interesting because in the Old Testament, it doesn't say directly, overtly to study to show ourselves approved. Why? Because Hebraically, when we study from the Hebrew perspective, to seek God, to seek the Lord, is to study. Study His revelation. Study His revelation in reality. Here, Matthew chapter 16, here we have verse 18. This is 16, 18, just to make sure. 16, 18. We have 16, 18 right here where it says, and I say to thee that thou art Peter, Petro. Some say pebble, right? Petro, thou art Peter. And up on this rock will I build my church, and the gates of hell, no doubt it's probably Sheol, we'll check out the reference right there, the gates of hell, right, Sheol, right, shall not prevail against it, right? So here we have a reference to my church right there. Now, not to get into this long-winded here, but there's confusions that have come into Christianity over the thousands of years. Some people think that this means, well, the Catholics are right because they have St. Peter's Basilica. Remember I asked you, what is the gospel? The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. Then the next question is, what is the kingdom? And how the kingdom connects with the restoration, the kingdom of David. But what is the, you know, what is the gospel? You know, what is the good news? Well, St. Peter's Basilica, you've heard that, Basilica. What's so interesting about the Roman Catholics is that a lot of the key words they use are not even Latin, but actually Greek. When they call themselves kataholos, kataholos, that's where it comes from. It's actually an expression that's found in the Greek text of the New Testament. Kataholos. When they spoke about the church in all regions, kataholos, overall, in all regions, which became understood as universally, to say the church everywhere. That means these brothers and sisters over there, and these brothers and sisters over there, when we worship together at the proper times and seasons, we all are part of one metaphysical body. We're all a part of one church. This is how the scripture uses it. But then some of the Roman Catholics, they started to say, well, we are the kataholos. When actually kataholos, that later on got perverted into this whole Catholic thing, it meant Christians or those Nazarenes, those who had faith that Yeshua, Hanotri, Jesus of Nazareth, was the prophesied Moshiach. It meant all universal. It meant the universal, universal, not just us over here as Israelites in the North America, right, or in Brooklyn or in New York, but the Israelites in the next state in Jersey, right, in Pennsylvania, all across the U.S., right, across the waters in the Caribbean, right, in South Central America, right, on all the continents and land masses universally. That was the sense of it. Same thing with Basilica. Basilica come from Basile. Basile, like Basileos, the first, we say, the true new patriarch, right, you know, of Ethiopia during the time of His Majesty the King Messiah. But we have Basile, Basile, Basile. Basile means king. Basilikos means kingdom. Stop for a moment. Wait, hold on. The gospel is the gospel of the kingdom. Now, Yeshua says right here, he says to Peter, right, he says, I say to thee that thou art Peter, and up on this rock I will build my church. Yeshua, you're speaking a parable to them, man. They're going to twist this up. Well, they already did. Look what happened with the Catholics, right? And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against this. So they create something called St. Peter's Basilica. Basilica means kingdom. Huh? What? Oh, if only St. Peter, the real St. Peter, right, could just rise up and smack them or whatever. What? St. Peter's kingdom? Is it St. Peter's kingdom? I thought the gospel was the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom that was promised to David and to come through the seed of David. Weep not, behold, the conquering line of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Weep not, behold, Kanamawi Haile Selassie. This is why, interesting, the Haftarah here for Kedoshim points to Amos chapter 9, verse 7. Are ye not as the children of the Ethiopians or the mere children of Israel? And then we have Amos chapter 9, verse 11, 9-11, speaking of the restoration in the latter days of the Davidic kingdom. Why? Because of the prophecy. Now, there's a footer here that we will be amiss and remiss if we didn't point it. Here, the footer in the Scofield Study Bible, St. Matthew chapter 16, right, verse 18. Because in order to understand and understand and get a good standing, 10 toes down, right, on what this whole church thing is, we have to study, right, to show ourselves approved. So this is why we're going to go here a little, there a little. So here we're in the Gospel of Matteo or Matthew, right? And the footer here, Scofield Study Bible, says next to church or next to Peter. It has two marks here. One is next to Peter, and one is next to church. The one next to Peter or Petro. Petro, right? The S in Greek, actually. The S in Greek on the end of names is only mainly there in written names. Usually in spoken convention, right? Petros would be Petro. Marcos would be Marco. Lucas would be Luca, right? Johannes would be Johann. Just to point that out right there. But in writing, to separate it from other, you know, things in written, they would add S to the names. Just to point that out there. There is, in the Greek, a play upon the words. When you read the Greek of this right here, thou art Peter, Petros, literally a little rock. Petros means a little rock. Peter, right, means a little rock. And upon this rock, then he uses the word Petra. Petra. So Petro, Petra, right, which means rock. Not little rock, but rock. I will build my church. He does not promise. Adonai Yeshua, the Master Yeshua, does not promise to build his church, his called out assembly, up on Peter, but upon himself. But some, when they read this translation, like the Catholics and others, you know, they begin to think, well, it's all about St. Peter, right? Well, it's all about Peter. So, but what they don't recognize by study or lack thereof is that Yeshua does not say he will build his called out assembly first amongst Yehudi, right, amongst the Jew, and then the Gentiles, that other flock, right, upon Peter, but upon himself, as Peter himself is careful to tell us. Now, how is Peter himself careful to tell us this? Well, once again, got to practice and put into action the principle here, discipleship principle, rightly dividing or to say explaining, right? So here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Let's go here, here, here. 1 Peter chapter 2, right? 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. right? And if one can go here and be in scripture to put it together, then, you know, one is not worthy to be his disciple, and we have to question whether you are called. Yes, it's not, at first I know it's a little challenging, brothers and sisters, to kind of, when you're reading some of the notes in the Schofield and go here and there, and, but then you really, when you get to understand it, you really get to understand it, and then you get to know the truth for yourself. So here we have 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 4 to 9. Here's what it says. To whom coming as to a living stone, disallowed indeed of men. Disallowed indeed of men. You know, men and people like all the rabbis and scholars and the great ones, right, who rejected Yeshua. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of Elohim and precious. Verse 5. Ye, y'all also. So here Peter is speaking to all of us. He says, y'all also as lively stones, as living stones. No dead stock, livestock, as lively stones are built up a spiritual house. Now, does a house, you ever seen a house just happen? You ever see wood all over the place? And then all of a sudden, after a while, evolution brings a house. Does a house just happen by evolution? Like, you know, like just a wood scraps just all come together eventually. So, wow, look at this beautiful mansion. No, built up. How is it built up? Is built up by our acts. Y'all also as lively stone acts, not acts, but acts. I know the English is a some language, ain't it? Ye also give thanks for the gift of the Holy Spirit in the upper room of Zion, right? And when did that happen? That happened on the feast of the Holy Spirit. Ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house, a spiritual bait, like the beta Israel, right? Beta Christian, a spiritual house and a holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices, right? No dead stock, lively, right? Spiritual, right? Spiritual sacrifices acceptable to Elohim by Jesus Christ, by way of Yeshua HaMoshiach. Remember, he is the mediator of the new covenant. So remember, Israel had broken the covenant and violated, we see twice, even right there in the wilderness, right? We have at least a good 1 to 2 times right there in the wilderness, right? Verse 6, wherefore also it is contained in the scripture, behold, I lay in Zion, a chief cornerstone, elect, the elect of God, the elect, precious, and he that believeth, admitteth, crediteth on him, that has good credit on him, shall not be confounded. Shall not be confounded. Verse 7. To you therefore who believe, who admit as truth, he is precious. But to them who be disobedient, the stone that the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner. The Rosh, in the Hebrew, Rosh, in the Amharic, the Ras, the head, the Rosh of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them who stumble at the word. You see, stumble at the word. So what is church? And so we ask these questions. What does holy really mean? I mean, what does it mean in operation and action? What does it really mean? It means set apart, right? And those who stumble at the word, being disobedient, right? Just to point this out, that obedience in the Hebrew has to do with hearing. Just to point that out, right? This is faith come by hearing. So disobedience is like the heart of hearing. Being disobedient, whereto also they were appointed. They were appointed to that. Chance. This brings in the idea that a lot of people reason on predestination. So the verse almost brings out that those who stumble at the word, they were appointed to that. Maybe because that's the point they made to themselves to be disobedient. Therefore, that's what it means that they were appointed to that. And therefore, that was their predestination. But anyway, verse 9, just to seal it up right here. Here we have the believers, right? The believers. Right? Because really the word believe comes from the amen word, amen as a verb. And it means to admit on as true, and the New Testament sense to credit, to admit on as true. So those who, the creditors, right? Those who hold Messiah, Yeshua, the King of Kings, Christ, in good credit, right? The creditors, right? The believers, liberty, life, in view of his sevenfold position. So in the New Covenant sense, the number seven refers to our sevenfold position and of the vicarious suffering of Messiah. Verse 9, to seal this up, how Peter testifies that the rock that he will build his church was not upon him himself, but was upon HaMoshiach, who? Himself. But ye, but y'all, speaking to us all here again, are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood. This word royal priesthood, right, comes out to be a kingly priesthood, the king's priesthood, even I and I, the King of Kings priesthood, and holy nation. Wait, this sounds very familiar, doesn't it? Doesn't it? I'm already holding a couple of pages here. That's why I sometimes get a good book, you know, book, what do you call it, like placeholders in the book. We have to go right here and just scroll quickly to Exodus, right? Exodus chapter. So imagine if we cut off the Old Testament. There'll be no point of context for these quotes that we have in the New Testament. You see the trick right there? Here in Exodus chapter 19, verse 5, it says, now therefore, if y'all will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, my contract, my agreement, then y'all shall be a peculiar treasure, a treasured treasure to me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Verse 6, and ye and y'all shall be to me a kingdom of priests, and a holy nation. And then it says, John says, these are the words that thou shalt speak to the Bnei Yisrael, to the children of Israel. So here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9, Peter is now speaking to the kataholos, to the faithful of all regions, the universal church, right? But ye, but y'all are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people. What do you think Peter understood that? Where do you think Peter got that from? Well, of course, he got that from HaTorah, right? And now his eyes were even more open, right, after Pentecost with the Holy Spirit, and he now saw what the Master was teaching and saying, that ye, that y'all, so this priesthood, this chosen generation, this royal, this kingly, the King of Kings priesthood, this holy set-apart nation, this peculiar, this treasured people, what is the point, right? What's the point of this, the Gentiles might say? Well, here, the word says in verse 9, same verse, that ye, that y'all, I and I all should do what? Shew forth the praises of him who have called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. You know the greeting for the resurrection first day, the Tensai of Yeshua, Ethiopically is known as the Berhane Tensayo. Berhane is the light of, the illumination of his resurrection, of his resurrection. First point of illumination of Yeshua's resurrection is that Yeshua did not raise himself. Yes, our Master, and our Master no doubt, well, he knows the truth. It is written that it's Elohim Ha'av, it's Elohim the Father, right, that raised Yeshua. This is why the Bible says to have the faith of Yeshua. See, people would think, what says the faith in Yeshua? Yes, that's true, but the faith in Yeshua, so we have the same faith of Yeshua, in that good, that loving, that covenant-keeping Father, right, that raised Yeshua, will raise I and I. So here, this chosen priesthood, this chosen generation, this royal priesthood, this holy nation, this peculiar treasured people, the purpose is that they, that I and I, that ye, should shew forth the praises, the eyeses, of him who have called you, who have called I and I out of disillumination, right, into his marvelous illumination. So we pause it right there, and that's how Peter, right, that's how Peter right here quoting and making reference to Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 and 6, right, verse 6 especially, right? So Peter explains that when he said upon this rock, he says, thou art Petros, thou art a little rock, and upon this rock. So what was Yeshua actually saying? You know, what was he actually saying? Upon what rock? Upon, he is the rock, and upon the truth. See, the whole chapter right here, right, if you go through the chapter, Peter makes a confession a couple of verses before. Peter says, when Yeshua came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, I know you've been taught to say Caesarea, the C as an S sound, but in studying etymology, we know that Caesar was never said in ancient times as Caesar, right? He'll be who? See who? Right? Esau? Caesar? Esau? No, Kaiser, right? Kaiser Philippi. He asked his disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? So Yeshua asked them, Robeno asked them, whom do men, like the Pharisees, the scribes, or the ones about, around about Judea and Jerusalem, who do they say? What, you know, what's the rumors out there? You know, what's the rumors out there? Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, right, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias or Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And he said to them, but whom say y'all that I am? You see, they were hedging their bets. Well, you know, there's, some are saying that, well, you're John the Baptist. Some are saying you're Elijah. Some are saying, remember Jeremiah? Or just, you know, one of the prophets, you know. But who do you, y'all, decide say that I am? And verse 16 says, in Matthew chapter 16:16, and Simon Petros, my Peter, he answered and said, thou art HaMashiach. Thou art the Messiah, right? The anointed, the Ben Elohim Chaim. You are the Ben, right? The son of the Elohim, the power Chaim, of the living Elohim. Right? Not the Elohim of the other people, the other people's Elohim, which are the no gods, the dead gods, the good for nothings, but you are the son of the living power. And then the first mention of the church we have here in verse 17, where Yeshua answered and said to him, blessed art thou, gave him a baraka, blessed art thou, Shimon Bar Yonah. Now notice what he called him. He said, Simon, we know he's Simon Peter, but here, red letter, Yeshua says, Simon Shimon, which means hearing. Think about that. Simon means hearing, and hearing in the Hebrew implies obedience. Not hearing implies disobedience. Shimon Bar Yonah, son of Jonah, son of the dove. For flesh and blood have not revealed it to thee. In other words, this is not what you heard people say. Men and people say it wasn't flesh and blood, right? It must have been the spirit. You didn't get this from flesh and blood. Flesh and blood have not revealed it to thee, but my Father, right? Elohim Ha'ab Abi, who is Shabashamayim, who is in the heavens. And I say to thee that thou art for real. You are Petros, right? You are Peter. And upon this rock, speaking of the Petra. So anybody who heard him say it, right, according to even the Greek wordplay right there, would overstand. He's saying basically, because you have given this accurate who I am. Who did Peter say he is? He is HaMashiach. He is the Messiah. He is the Son, right? The only begotten. You know why when we say he's the only begotten? Well, we're going to touch on that right there. We're going to touch on the only begotten. He's the Yahid, right? He's the one and only Son, right? He's the one. Now, people say, some of the Israelites say, well, Israel's called my son. Yeah, but he had to send his word. Right, he had to send his word, right, taking up the tabernacle of our fallen humanity to save his son. He came to save his people. He came to save Yisrael. So he sent his son to save his corporate son, to save Israel. But what Peter says right here is that you are the anointed, the son of the living power. And Yeshua blesses him and says, it is not flesh and blood that could have revealed this, but it's only to say only my Father. So therefore you are a rock, because right now what you're saying should be a rock, a standing place, you know, for everyone else, for all of the disciples that heard you say that. That is the truth right there. He's saying that I, the Son of Man, am the anointed, the Son of the living power. And it's upon this, what you have said, this that you have said, that I am the Messiah, the Son of the living power. This is the Petra, you have spoken the Petra, right? And it's upon this confession, this testimony, that I will build my called out assembly, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. So those who truly and duly and truly, and may I say this here, since we know that Amos chapter 9 verse 7 makes that children of Israel, children of the Ethiopians, children of Israel connection. Let's once again, let's see right here, let's once again turn to Acts of the Apostles. So here is going to be a good object lesson of rightly dividing, explain the word, principle upon principle, here a little and there a little, right? Because now it's here, right, in Acts of the Apostles chapter 8. Let's go to chapter 8. You know, they got these new Bibles out there, right? These new English Bibles out there. But in some places, they do bring out some clarity, maybe, in some areas. It's not where they bring out better clarity. It's when they remove things. Verse 37 of Acts of the Apostles, they are trying to remove. We should have, actually, we Ethiopian Hebrews, right? You know, Christian or Jew, right? We Ethiopian Hebrews, we should have a big, you know, campaign on this to point this out and to expose, right, the Christian hypocrisy. Because they're trying to remove verse 37. In fact, in some Bibles, they actually have removed it. And this is the testimony of the Ethiopian Hebrew black Jew, the treasurer of Kentike, Candace, the queen of the Cushim, the queen of the Ethiopians, when he had went to Jerusalem to worship. Notice, he went to Jerusalem in verse 27, it says, had come to Jerusalem for to worship. That means that this Ethiopian was a Jew, a Hebrew, a Israelite that had went, yeah, he worked for Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, but he was, it's his faith, he went to worship, right? And now as he's returning from worship, he picks up, you know, one of the books out there. You know, as you go and you pick up some books, right? You know, the Holy Feast, things going on. The scroll of Yeshaya, of Isaiah, yeah, let me get a copy of that, right? And so now he's going back in his ride, right? You know, in his ancient SUV chariot, right? And as he's going about, he's reading that, the Holy Spirit, right, touches upon Philip, right, to run and join himself with the Ethiopian Hebrews with his chariot, right? And we know the scene, and we scroll all the way down to verse 37. We're actually to put into a little bit of context right here, right? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture that he heard. Notice, he had heard the Ethiopian Jew, the Ethiopian eunuch, the Ethiopian official that's called in translation the Ethiopian eunuch, he heard him, right, reading this scroll, right? And when Philip drew near to him, right, what did Philip ask him? He said, understandest thou what thou readest? Now imagine if he asked some of these other nowadays Hebrews and Israelites, you know what I mean, what they would say, you know what I mean, like, do you understand what you're reading? Of course I do, you need to join my camp, you know. No, he didn't say that. What did the Ethiopian, and he's shown us the true Hebrew, even the Israelite of Ethiopia value. He said, how can I, except some man should guide me? Now, if you study our way and you go back into the ancient scrolls of, you know, how our people, even before captivity, used to go about, even if I knew more, maybe I knew more than you about something, right? And His Majesty also demonstrated this. Kanamawi Haile Selassie upon the throne of great King David. There were those who testify, even one Valheim Lockhart in the book called The Mission. He said, it's interesting because there are times that people came to His Majesty, and he even witnessed this himself. And he knew His Majesty knew about this, but how he humbly would have them explain things, and even some people who had explained things they said, testified that they had the impression that he already knew maybe more about this, but you know, that it's that humility. It's that truly anointed and divine humility, right? So here he says, right here, he says, how can I, right? How can I except some man should guide I and I? Iron sharpened iron. So he desired that Philip, right, would come up and sit with him, right, in his chariot, in his ancient SUV, right? So as we scroll forward, a couple of verses forward, right, Philip began to open his mouth and began at the same scripture, because the Ethiopian official, he got the Ethiopian Jew, he got to a point, the Ethiopian Hebrew, Beta Israeli, he got to a certain point, right, where he couldn't understand this particular verse. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter, and like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so opened he not his mouth. Now note this right here, that when this happened to Yeshua HaNotri, it was Passover time. Right, and shortly after that, right, we see the Ethiopian eunuch coming forward to worship. No doubt around that same time, or at one of the three times of the year, right, he picked up a copy of the scroll of Isaiah, which proves that even then we didn't have all the scrolls in one book, because there were many, many scrolls. But he got a copy of the scroll of Isaiah. He was reading this, right? In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch, or the official, in the other translation of that word, right, the official answered Philip and said, did you know that the man that was married to the Egyptian woman that tried to set up Brother Joseph on the fake rape charge? Do you know that in the Hebrew it calls him the same word as it calls the Ethiopian? That the man, the Egyptian that had bought and employed Joseph, whose wife had tried to sleep with Joseph, that it calls him a eunuch too? It's the same word. But the translator translates it more as official. Note how they do that. That's what we have to study and show ourselves approved. And the eunuch answered Philip, right? Right? The eunuch answered, it's kind of interesting, because the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Now, even when the word answer, some will say, the Bible contradicting itself. No, in Hebrew, when we say answer, it can also mean to respond to someone, right? To respond to someone. You know what I mean? Not always literally, like a question had to precede, a literal question. Right? He answered, or he responded to Philip and said, I pray the eye, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or of some other man? That was a good question. This is a question that a Hebrew, right, a Torah observant Hebrew would ask. Don't we don't assume, right, of whom is the prophet speaking? Because he could be speaking of himself. Some prophecies actually have those prophets at an epicenter of some of the prophetic action. Look at Jonah, for example, right? Interesting. Peter is called son of Jonah, Bar Jonah. So he asked this question, and then Philip opened his mouth. Alright, so Philip then began to give him, you know, like some of us might do sometime, being overzealous. Right? Remember, Philip was up there in the upper room, and he got the Holy Spirit too. Right? So then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture. Oh, you heard that, right? He began at the same, but this is the point. He began at the same scripture. And he preached to him Yeshua. He preached to them Iusu, right? Yesus, right? And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. So we only get here in the scripts in Acts of the Apostles the highlight point of what happened. But they no doubt went on, and Philip went on to reason with him from the same scripture, you know, whom Yeshua, proclaiming that Yeshua is the one, right? And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch or the official said, see, water, see, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized? And now here's the verse that they try to scrub out. Here's the verse that they try to scrub out of the new Bible, the new translation. So if you get a Scofield Study Bible, get the old Scofield Study Bible. I mean, you can get the new one, but we don't really highly recommend it. Right? It might be a waste of money. But anyway, you can get it if you want to, but for studies here, right? So we can be on the same page, proverbially, right? The old Scofield Study Bible. So here it says, verse 37, and Philip said, if thou believest, admittest as truth with all thine heart, thy mind, thou mayest. And he answers, speaking of the Ethiopian Hebrew, the Ethiopian Jew, the Ethiopian official, he answered and said, Ani me'amin ki Yeshua HaMashiach bein Elohim hu. He said, I admit, I amen, ani me'amin, me'amin, I amen, amen, I admit as true. He's not calling on no Egyptian Amun or Amon. No, he is saying, I admit as truth that Yeshua HaMashiach, that Yeshua is the Messiah, right? Yeshua the Messiah is the Son of Elohim. And then we get the baptism, right, of the Ethiopian official right there. Now, how interesting that what the Ethiopian official way over in Merowe is like, on the modern map, it's like in the Sudan, but it was connected with the ancient, we could say, Horn of Africa, Israelite, Ethiopian kingdoms right there, right? It had what I like to call sometimes the big body queens. You know, you can see it. They drew them as, you know, a woman that had the wide hips, but they were warrior queen, the Candace queen. In fact, historically, those who beat the Romans, historically, not many ones beat the Romans, right, decisively. We have Hannibal of Carthage, of the new city, right, who had beat the Romans. And we also have one of the Kentike queens of Merowe, right, who had beat, you know what I mean, maybe, was it this queen here, right? Right, where it says he was the, what was it? He was, and there arose, and he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, an official of great authority under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure. Are you going to make the joke that, yeah, he was an Ethiopian Jew? Because look, he was dealing with the money. But, you know, as he was Torah observant, I'm sure, you know, the economy there was a good economy, and he took a little holiday for a holy day, and he had come to Jerusalem to worship, right? And it picks up here with him returning and reading Isaiah the prophet. But note that what he says, all that Philip has said to him was this. Philip said, well, if you believe this with all thine heart, you mayest. Kika said, I believe with all my heart, right? But notice the words he said. The words, what he says right here, is the admission of faith. Was the ancient admission of faith. This is the real admission of faith, especially for one who is a Hebrew or a Jew, right? Accepting Yeshua HaNotri, Jesus of Nazareth, to be the prophesied Moshiach. Ani me'amin ki, that Yeshua HaMashiach, that Yeshua is the Messiah, ben Elohim hu, that he is the Son of Elohim. And then with this right here, with what Peter says in Matthew chapter 16, right, verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed, the Son of the living Elohim. So we can see that the Ethiopian official also no doubt received in spirit and in truth the Holy Spirit, even if he wasn't in that upper room, because we see his testimony being founded and grounded on the rock. Second point here, before we move forward, is the word church. Right, the word church. We're in Matthew chapter 16, verse 18. And I say to thee, this is red letter, so it's Yeshua, Robeinu, I and I, Rabbi, the Rabbi of Rabbis speaking, Yeshua speaking. And I say also, that means I said something just now, and let me say this also to thee, that thou art Petro, little rock, And upon this petra, this rock, this firm principle, I will build my ecclesia, my called out assembly. Pause. So here the second note in the Scofield Study Bible, it has GR for the Greek, and it says ecclesia. E-K, or in later English, we write it as E-X. E-X in the old Greek was E-K, ek, ek. Ek means out of, and kaleo, K-A-L-E-O, kaleo means to call. Out of, to call, called out. An assembly of called out ones. As this Torah reading and feeding, so the children of Israel was actually, according to principle, the pattern of the first called out ones. Think about it. They were called out of Mitzrayim. Right? They were the first of the called out ones. Right? And also, according to Acts of the Apostles, according to St. Stephen, the true church was the church in the wilderness. The word is used of any assembly, ecclesia. The word itself implies, basically, no more, right, as the town meeting in Ephesus. So in Acts of the Apostles, chapter 19, verse 39, it talks about a town meeting, you know, in Ephesus. And Yisrael, also, Israel, as we just mentioned, we're reading the notes here, called out of Egypt, called out of Kemet, called out of Mitzrayim, and assembled and gathered together, right, as an assembly where? Gathered together in the wilderness. Thus we have Acts of the Apostles, chapter 7, verse 38. Yisrael, Israel, was a true church or a true called out assembly. But not in any sense, it says, of the New Testament church. Some say here, the footnote, the only point of similarity being that both were called out and by the same Elohim. Then they have here, Scofield Study Bible, all else is contrast. Now, they have some places to go, right? Acts chapter 7, verse 38, we went there. And then also Hebrews chapter 12, right? Verse 23, there's a note. So let's go to Hebrews, because right here, 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 right? Royal Order of Ethiopian Hebrews after the order of Melchizedek. I have to touch on some Hebrew here, right here, the Hebrews. Because Hebrew is now pointedly to the Yehudi, to the Jews, to the Israelites, to explain to them, according to the scripture, how Yeshua, right, a Yehudi, right, how this one is that prophesied Moshiach. So here, Hebrews chapter 12, verses, chapter 12, verse 23, right? Chapter 12, verse 23. Here, here, here. Is it chapter 12? Okay, my bad. There we go. Chapter 12. Here we go. Verse 23. To the general assembly and the church of the firstborn, the called out assembly of the firstborn, who are written in heaven, and to Elohim, the judge of all, and to the spirits of just men, of righteous men, of just men made perfect. In other words, of just men, righteous men becoming perfect. And to Yeshua, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaketh better things than that of Abel, than of Abel. Or in ancient Egypt, you could put that in the Osirian connection, the Osirian. You know, there were ancient stories that many ones and ones kept going, but, you know, as time went on, sometimes people embellished it. From the Hebrew perspective, we are getting the true type of the principle right here, here, here. So there is the verse right there, and there's a footer right here, right? So it's a church. The true church, the summary. The true church composed of the whole number of regenerate persons. Regenerate. We don't talk about that so often, right? Yeah, 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 yo, that's a good brother there. Yeah, he's a regenerate man. Yeah, that sister, and she a good sister, she regenerate. But often people would kind of easily point out people being degenerates, right? But the true church here is composed of the whole number of regenerated, that means born-again persons, from Pentecost,